Welcome, everyone. I want to get tonight started. We've got a lot of work to handle and appreciate everybody coming in on a hot night. So again, welcome. And this is an important part of our process to kind of figure out as a group where we're all at and how we can come together to start off our, this is really the kickoff to get our budget going. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dirk.
Yeah, and my welcome as well. This is really an important meeting for everybody to get everybody on the same page, working together to achieve common goals. That's important for any organization, and particularly for a city where we have seven council members coming from seven different places, and to actually realize there are some things we have in common. The survey showed that, many things that we have in common that we can work together on. And so that really is inspirational to me and the rest of the staff and to the council as well, that we all know, okay, these are things that are important that we can all get behind. I wanted to start here by, so by the end of the night, we hope to come up with, develop the kind of the framework of an action plan, throw out what doesn't work anymore, put in what looks good, and we'll come back at a later meeting with what we develop as a product tonight in a more formalized version. But for starters, we wanted to go around the room and give a two things. One would be what one accomplishment you were proud of during last year that happened in the city, and then secondly, what you would hope to accomplish out of tonight's meeting. So with that, I've kind of said what I would like to accomplish is just to identify those goals that are important to everybody to get us working on the right things. And then the thing I'm most proud of, I guess, to me overall, is just how we work together through the pandemic and through everything that has happened, some turnover with staff, some turnover with council, and just you know, that transition process, making it through it, doing a good job, still keeping on task with some of our major projects that are identified in the plan, and kind of starting to form the basis of a new team. And so that's one thing I'm most proud of. So, Mayor?
Thank you, Kurt. I think for me, one of the things I'm most proud of is the franchise fee. And that was a lot of work. It was 5 years in the making. I realize not everybody's on board with that, but I really think that after we go through our budget process, you'll see that this is probably an optimum way to handle things. So I hope that when we get through this process, that we'll come to that light. And I, you know, too, I also want to welcome the new council members and hope we all can work together as a team to get to this, because it's really important work. Chris?
Thanks. Our biggest accomplishment, I think, is also our most important thing that we're working on, but I'm going to say it's Highway 10. And we are not there, but I am amazed at where we are at with the funding right now. I think it's shocking that we're that, as I'll say, as close as we are, and it puts us in striking distance. So, I mean, I'm very excited about that. That's going to make a big, big change for the whole city. Where do I want us to be here? What are we saying there? I'd like to feel like at least we're all on the same team. That doesn't mean we all make all the same decisions, but we are on the same team and kind of have the same, you know, common goal. That's what I'd like.
Well, I'm going to take Member Riley's idea. I wasn't sure what to say, but you're on Highway 10. I was going to say zip code.
You should have said that.
You know, but, yeah, I know Highway 10, that's incredible. The federal funding, and I don't even know if that was this year or last year. Everything's a blur now, but... yeah, just how close we're getting to it. So, and yeah, for the future, I guess just keep working together to figure out what the citizens want and what's best for the city. So,
I think for me, what's been really exciting, and it's not really even happened yet to a certain extent, is seeing some new buildings pop up in the core, like GE getting their own building, O'Reilly. Those are, I think, slow progress in the core, which I'm super excited about over the past year, getting approved and hopefully continuing to go. And then the Storytellers Cafe, I think that's going to be a really nice one. So I'm excited to see that development come across in the last year. You know, in terms of to work on or goals, I think for me it's trying to keep surprises to a minimum, just generically. The more we can both be prepared for things and transparent with things, the better off it is for us as a team as well as for the citizen side of things. That'd be my thoughts, I guess.
We'll cancel that birthday party we were planning. A big surprise.
I am turning 40.
Well, hey.
So I think for me and my brief time on the council, I think what I'm most, I guess, proud of is co-authoring the resolution on not enforcing the mask mandate, since it's been unconstitutional. So I guess I'm proud of that. I'd love to see if we could reduce city code, just things that are, you know, redundant, and that's something that's of interest to me, if that would be helpful to the businesses in our community and residents. Just to explore that a little bit more, and I just like to say too, you know, I appreciate all the different viewpoints, and you know, they're not always going in the same direction, but I think iron sharpens iron, and when we have the opportunity to have those debates and stuff, we can learn from each other. So I really appreciate that a lot.
Just as I think we're all diverse, I think we have a few different ideas other than council members back. for me, one of the greatest or of the past year accomplishments is just able to find out what issues were going on with the joint powers agreement with the now then Ramsey Fire Department, and walk through that process, difficult as it was over a long period of time. We made it through that, and you know, we're now in our own fire department, and they have their own fire department, and I just think that was huge, small, under the surface type things. And another thing I'm proud of is that there was a self-assessment that the city did instead of going out for a vendor to, I think it was a water survey. Bruce, you can correct me. There was a water survey, or some kind of water requirements that we had to meet with regard to a survey or a treatment or a water plan. And we were able to do that in-house instead of sending it out for a vendor. And I think that saved residents. And so I don't know if you want to say the specific name of it so that it can be more on the record. I'm not.
It's the America's Water Infrastructure Act. And so we are preparing emergency response plans and risk and resiliency assessment for our system. So that'll be coming to council pretty soon here. That's due June 30th. So.
I wanted to thank the Public Works Department and staff for being responsive to just hearing that different idea, seeing what it was that it would require to do the self-assessment survey, and then deciding to go in that direction. And for me, I think as far as going forward, I think to continue to bring ideas to the table, continue to work as we have, whether we all agree or disagree, but just can be being able to bring those ideas to the table and vet them out and work together for the residents of Ramsey.
Well, Grant, before I get to you, I wonder if we could have Councilmember Heinemann. Welcome. If you could.
Yeah, thank you. Still offer military training. I'll be back in June, so thanks for putting up with me over telecommuting. But I guess things I'm most proud of is running. When I was running, I met a lot of residents, and I think it's a real nod to the city how many were politically involved and how many have been here for a really long time. Met multiple people that have been here for 20, 30 years, who served in city councils, who knew the history of Ramsey pretty well. So just retaining those residents, I think, is a real nod to the city of Ramsey, and being able to be a destination where people stay, I think, is great. And then things I'd like to see continue is kind of on Matt's point, just keep continuing to bring businesses into the core, like Storytellers, like O'Reilly's, like GG's expansion, and just continue building up. I think that'd be great.
Mine might be a shock, but I think getting the Public Works building finally out of meetings, and we finally got it built. I'm proud of that. Second thing I'm looking forward to is the water treatment plant. I've taken rusty water calls for 30-some years, and you just hate when somebody sends you a picture of a bathtub full of brown water, and you're like, you know, the only way we can fix this is a treatment plant. We're finally getting to that point, so excited.
Well, I'm going to go with one of the accomplishments I'm most proud of is the way that our staff responded during the pandemic and during the civil unrest. I owe a lot to my staff who are dedicated. They didn't say no. They asked how they could help. How can we provide these same services in a different format? We just don't have the option to fail our mission. So I give a lot of credit to my staff. They stepped up to the plate when they needed to. I think we had the highest calls for service ever for our department this last year. So, things that I hope to accomplish tonight, set some goals on a high level and some direction for the future, and then maybe get some feedback on things that we're doing well and areas we need to improve upon.
Sorry, I'm taking notes. I am trying to talk at the same time. So for me, I was going to say how we attend, but that goes without saying. But certainly the remote meeting technology that we've implemented and how effective our organization is going to be post-pandemic for those purposes. And then, excuse me, things I hope to get out tonight, you know, if we could come away with one of the 2 to 3 main priorities. So we look back a year from now, have the same conversation. What are the two to three main things out of tonight that we'll look back and define our success?
For me, I am very proud that in the beginning of the pandemic, when we thought we were going to have employees not being able to do their job, maybe even looking at some layoffs, we did not do that. Nobody lost any time. Everybody kept working and getting our work done and stayed healthy. I'm very proud of that. And everyone in this room helped that to happen. And as far as a goal for tonight, pretty basic, just get a good understanding of what we should be doing over the next several months.
Let's see, as far as an accomplishment, I'm going to go back with the duty crew implementation. I think that was a cost efficient move for the city and improved our level of service. So I'm proud of that. As far as accomplishment, or what we'd like to get done tonight is ability to move forward with some common goals. I think tonight's about really being transparent with our staff and city council. I think it'll be a good, relaxed meeting tonight, and hopefully we can come away with some solid foundations and good goals moving forward.
The accomplishments I guess I'm most proud of would be the ability of my team to, while working through the whole pandemic process and the environment we're in, to actually deliver a pavement management program that was about 2 to 2.5 times more robust than we've been doing on an annual basis because of the funding we have in place now. So, I mean, we pumped out a lot of plans, a lot of projects, and did it, I think, with quality products. And we also are working on trying to do so with getting word out to the residents and beefing up our communications to the public on what we're doing too. So I guess that's one of the goals that I have for tonight, is to try and understand better what council's expectations are for my department, especially when it comes to the pavement management program, whether we're keeping on with the vision of that more robust program, but then also how involved we want to be with getting with improving our communications to the public. Are we doing enough? Do we need to do more getting word out there and again getting folks a good understanding of what it is we're trying to accomplish? So just trying to get an understanding of that as well.
So as been mentioned, I'm most proud of just looking at the different funding sources that we've used for different things this year. So the pavement management has been mentioned a few times, just looking at using the franchise fee as that sustainable funding source. And basically it was a long process just dealing with residents about their special assessments and the utility companies themselves, and also just the funding of the Public Works campus, looking at internal funds and then the bonding mix and that sort of thing, because of course our biggest funding source that's our funding use that's going to be coming forward to the council is of course the water treatment plant. So we have to discuss, you know, how that's going to be funded. And so I guess what I'm looking forward to tonight is just how we all work together, because I don't think we've all been together in one room as with the, you know, all the new council members and that. And so I think, you know, we've had different things related to items on the council agenda, but that's probably specific to just each of us alone. So I think just seeing the dynamic of all of us together, it will be interesting tonight. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
Thank you, Diana. Great note to end that exercise on. First time we're live together in one room and talking about this and doing this kind of planning. So everybody has something that they're proud of from last year. That's important. Everybody, as you can see, had a little different perspective. You know, where you sit is where you stand. So we need to certainly appreciate that everybody comes at this from a different place. Next, I wanted to just go over, we talked about keeping what we have in terms of our values, our vision, our mission, and our main objectives. So I want to read through those. And if something doesn't sit right with anybody, we need to call it out and say maybe we should tweak this or change this a little bit. So like to go over these. So for our currently stated values in our strategic planning document, we have ethics and integrity, fiscal responsibility, cooperation and teamwork, open and honest communications, excellence and quality in the delivery of service, treating people with respect and fairness, and adaptability and continuous learning. So these are our organizational values. For our vision, which was created through processes like this with previous councils, it's been modified over the years, and also somewhat incorporated into our and part of our strategic planning process, which involved more of the community. So the vision, as was stated, was Ramsey will be a secure, citizen-driven, collaborative community that respects the balance and connectivity between its unique urban, rural, and natural environments. The corresponding mission was that we will work together to responsibly grow our community and to provide quality, cost-effective, and efficient government services. The five objectives that were stated underneath that mission were, number one, financial stability, two, a balance of rural character and urban growth, three, an active and connected community, four, smart, citizen-focused government, and five, an effective organization. So those are the main structure of our strategic plan from which we developed the strategies we're going to talk about tonight, the action plan. Does any piece of this seem like it doesn't hit the mark or allow us to develop strategies and action under any one of these umbrella pieces?
Wanted to just ask if all the numbers were updated. Like the population, the anticipation of growth, the number of employees, any of that the numbers need to be updated at all is my only comment.
Oh, okay. We can, population looks pretty close. There's probably some tweaking. We'll take a look at that. We didn't specifically go over that piece of document, but that's a good point. We'll update that as necessary with the number of employees working in the city population, which is maybe slightly low, but we're well over 27,000 with the current census, or 27,700 or something like that. So we will update that. Thank you. Any other? Looks like we're okay. So at this point, I'll turn it over to our staff planner with the post-it notes, Tim really does a great job with planning and has done this many times. So he's going to take us through the exercise here of strengths and weaknesses, and then we'll get in a little bit more after the break. We'll still plan on taking a break around 7 o'clock, and after that we'll get more into our strategic planning survey and future strategies and actions.
Thank you, Kurt. So this exercise, and people already call out, I love post-it notes for this kind of exercise, and actually it's worked out pretty well. It'll make a little bit more sense, and if you can pass this around and grab a marker, because they'll write in big, thick letters, it'll be short little notes, and Mr. Heinemann, you can email me your thoughts, and I will put them on a post-it note for you. What we want to develop here is just a simple screening tool to refer back to as we go back through the strategies and actions. In the past, we've done what's called a SWOT analysis, SWOT, strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, but we're going to streamline that a little bit. Today, we're going to just talk about strengths and our weaknesses, and this is something that we're going to refer back to as we look at changing the action plan later in the document. So as we think about changes document, we want to be advancing the strengths that we have as an organization, and we want to be adding actions and tactics that improve the weaknesses of our organization. So the exercise is pretty simple here. We're looking for 2 to 3, or more if you will, of each a strength of the organization and then a weakness of the organization. It's wide open. Maybe it's already addressed in some of the action plan itself, but this is just a good brainstorming, kind of get you in the mindset of strategic planning, and it results in a tool that's helpful to screen some of the comments that we will have here today. So it might be, a strength could be we have a relatively low tax base compared to our surrounding communities, so a low tax base would be one strength. A weakness could be we need to be doing better in community engagement, so the weakness is community engagement. So it's simple little phrases and words that we can all read when we post them up on here. Use the marker. We're looking for 2 to 3 strengths of the organization, wide open, and 2 to 3 weaknesses of the organization. When you're done, just slap them up on that whiteboard here, and we're going to look for clusters of similarities along the way. Deborah, a question.
Yes. Did you want one per page?
Good question.
Right.
And did you want them all like this?
Yep, so good question. I take it for granted. So it's one per slip. So this is going to be one of our strengths. And if you have a second, you're going to do it in
a blank.
Separate
That's
form.
A scourging.
What's that?
That's a scourging. It's blank.
Well, I know. I haven't written it. Okay. So you'll have like a total of 6 up on the board. So just, one strength per post-it note, if that makes sense. So we can all read it. We'll go over the results here. It'll just take a couple minutes. And again, it's a really important screening tool. So any other questions?
Emmy said 3 of each.
3 of each. If you have more, you can certainly do more, but let's aim for 3 of each.
With some.
With some.
When you're done, you can bring them up yourself and slap them on the wall.
Is it a race?
It's not a race. within the allotted time frame we have here today, take as much time as you need. And this way you don't have to sit the entire time. You get to get up and walk around a little bit.
Not talking to you.
it to the organization, the city, or just like this, the whole city as itself, or both of those?
It could be both. This is more about our organizational operation, so it should be a little bit more centered around councils, boards, commissions, staff.
Okay, so it's not just like the city is in general?
I mean, if you want to call that out, that's fine, too. The strategic plan, if I'm understanding right, is more about our operations, our organization, would you say, Kurt?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But some of the broader community aspects are important, too.
Starting over.
I mean, there are aspects of the community that help us achieve our goals, so those can be mentioned as
I just sent them over to you, Tim.
Thank you.
Yep.
Isn't comfortable. Plus, the toxic chemical.
And Kurt, I wonder if we take a break in between, during break, we can cluster these. Just a suggestion. Anyone left?
When we're done here, we'll take a 5-minute break. Anybody that?
How about 10?
10-minute break while Tim sorts out the strengths and weaknesses in the categories. So if you're done,
meet back here in 10 minutes, 10 to 7.
Envelope, kind of, and then
No.
A few hours later.
I'm still not against it. I just think this one, like, I know I have like 8 months. I have some people dead, so maybe in the fall.
Well,
Gen 2 would come out.
I was fundamentally, I'm against it. Brenda hasn't yet gotten it. She's not wanting to. Very seriously, I gave in to peer pressure. And I told my daughter that. And she's like, you told me my whole life, don't do that. And I'm like, I understand. But seriously, my mom is the biggest one.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a family reunion in July. Everyone's going to be there. I'm like, I have the antibodies, the same thing. We rush come see
my sister. Oh, tax,
right? I mean, some stuff. Honestly, I think I'm just going to lie. Yeah, you're right, I got it.
Yep, I got it.
You know,
I'm not allowed to ask for the
right.
For the
I mean,
form.
Like, what do you, you know?
Plan for development. I want to move development.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Planning
about that. Yeah, I'm not against it. I don't think it's a conspiracy theory to destroy people. I think they're going to push it because they want money. People don't need it. But I'm not, it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I like I said, who would you ask for that? Because there isn't anybody, because it would be like a city telepharmacy. And the answer is yes. It doesn't even matter what the facts are.
Did you see how much Pfizer made from it this year?
No. Our next door are both doctors. And they are like, they are not an unbiased answer either, because they're both dating. Like, and that's fine, except for they're like so very against it, I don't consider them a good source of information either.
I just wish you can check the video. Just in 2021.
Wow.
It's just fine. This is what the motivation for a lot of it, especially.
Or?
Or not. I'm sorry. It's not that it's
confused.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe
there's
that.
Yeah, so you got to pick up our own brand. Sir, good man. Her breakfast. He was inspirational.
I love, like, I can't wait.
I know how it goes.
It's just fun to see
everyone. 100%. Like, so I totally love.
Yeah.
But I think, what if we had, like, a
I don't recall. She was real historian. She's like, no. I never knew that it hurt so much when we did that. I guess it makes sense.
You got all the fancy equipment. The way to say, okay, here's your budget.
And then you had also said,
I don't know what you get it from.
It's like,
rounds of them. Grounds and
all
grounds
to go.
The last 20 years,
shooting off the back stop and it's like, as far as cars here.
Sounds like, yeah, a lot of people are going back to the offices now.
I'm like, that's why you can't find it in a year. They just couldn't get there.
Well, even, you know, I met a buddy for coffee, Dunn Brothers, and like, well, after like 7:30, go back to my house. I mean, I'm not that far from it. And it took me forever even to get out of the Wendy's parking lot because that whole intersection, smaller thing. But then to try to get 2 lanes over, no. Sign says no more U-turns, so I had to turn all the way around. It was just like, but that'll be nice when it's done.
Close.
But I mean, it's not like it's that major difference in the quarters that it gets, you know, from the backs.
All right, we'll call the meeting back to order. Thank you, everyone. Tim has got all the strengths and weaknesses separated and sorted. So, Tim.
Yeah, so some good clusters and not all that unexpected. Sometimes you'll see something show up in the strength and a weakness, and that's okay. There are different aspects that we can work through. So I'm just going to work left to right in no particular order. Under strengths, we have a lot of good comments about staff, experienced staff, strong staff, cooperation. So we acknowledge that our staff is a great strength and resource for our community. We did pull out separately public safety. We had a good cluster of that, both police and fire, including the duty crew change. So we have some good excitement around that. I'm most excited on this little cluster here. This is where I've lived in a lot of time, is community engagement. And especially in the development side, we've tried really hard to get people involved. You think about the Troutbrook North planning area. The residents were very instrumental in what that project looks like right now. Riverstone South is another example. Financial stability is a good strength for us. We've been able to maintain a relatively low tax rate for our residents. And that's important going through our budget. We see the potential for park system, and I know in the survey we'll get into this a little bit further. There's that balance, and the Park and Rec Commission has strived to do this for some time. We know that we have to address our existing parks and invest in existing parks, so that'll definitely be part of that as well. So there might be some strategic expansions, but also taking care of our existing parks, much like we do our roads. Speaking of roads, pavement management program, and Councilmember Heineman, I did summarize this a little bit, but capitalizing on good northern traffic flows. So we have good north-south connectivity is, I think, what you're getting at. Plus, all of the work we're doing and planning around transportation is important as well. Our planning and development is another good strength. We've built a lot of momentum. We heard earlier today a lot of the great projects that are occurring here in the core and elsewhere. And then maybe even a subset of that, this, I saw it maybe once or twice, but commitment to sustainable development. So we're doing some things that are creative to try to preserve some of that open space as well. So those are the strengths. On the weakness side, the tax base itself. So we have a low tax rate for our residents. We do have, according to these two notes, a modest or a low tax base. So we've got a good value for a dollar, but it's still a relatively low tax base, according to these two comments. This one, we can tweak a little bit if you want, but it seems that as we talk about ordinances and code enforcement, we see a lot about image awareness, perception. Someone mentioned Ramtucky here. We hear that phrase a little bit. Illegal dumping that I think kind of get back to image. So code enforcement and the actual codes and ordinances that we've talked about updating. If you looked at the updated survey, we did suggest now is probably a good time to look at our city code comprehensively. We have to do it for our zoning code anyway, so it's a natural time for that. Although we're doing really good in economic development, it seems that we want to do a little bit more, especially in the retail and restaurant front. So there are plenty of people that would like to see more retail and restaurants in the community. That is not a new comment. It's something we strive for here every day. Staff resources was a cluster here, not enough staff resources, greater than expectations, small staff. Had a couple of things here about maybe being a little bit too risk-averse and the sense that perhaps trust is starting to decline a little bit, and it's not bad, but we want to kind of go back in the right direction. We have one park and rec floater here. I think that gets back to take care of existing park and recreation. We also see roads on the weakness side, too. So we've done a really good job making that first step forward. We still have a long way to go. So I think that's a good illustration of that. we've got this cluster here that I think is kind of intertwined amongst each other. We hear you, website, IT manager is working on it. We're ready for a refresh in the next year or two. So we had a lot of information about website and technology probably related to the website. And then general communication showed up a number of times. And then kind of aside from that, more of the direct interaction with residents. Need more community input, lack of transparency on franchise fees, and response to residents inconsistent. So what we'll probably talk about today is this is important, but we just finished the communications plan, so we probably already have the pieces to go. So, you know, you have all done a little bit of work on this leading up to tonight, so we hear you, we know it, and now you've already adopted a plan to address a lot of this. We don't have to spend a lot of time in that space, but we can continue to refer back to this as we go through the remaining exercises. Any questions or observations on what you see here? Are these pretty fair clusters, the way we've clustered them? Don't all talk at once.
Good job, Tim.
All right. Well, let me get back in the mode of technology-wise. So if you haven't checked the email today, we did post a updated survey, which simply annotated the council version of the survey. And give me a second to pull it up and share to the screen. So we noted it to ask some compelling questions to perhaps help move the conversation along. As we go through this, keep in mind that this is council's plan. This is council's words. We're here to help you navigate a process. So when we get questions about what does staff mean about this, I'm going to flip that back to the council and say, you need to tell us what this means, and we will help you with the wording of that. So to give you a sense, just to kind of set the stage of what we recommend to do here today, we'd like to walk through the survey question by question. Some of these, it's pretty clear that there's full consensus. So we've got the high-level strategy, which is kind of what we want to do and why we want to do it, and then the action is how are we going to get that done. So some of these, full consensus to move forward, we might just look for a thumbs up consent that we should just leave it and move on. There are some in here that are flagged as discuss, so obviously that requires a little bit more discussion. So we're going to go through all 30-some questions. This mirrors the strategic plan itself, and what we're trying to figure out is add, remove, or modify. And so you will be able to help us, council, work through this and make those changes. Any questions about process before I start walking through the questions? And Mr. Heidemann, you can see the screen all right. I'll try to zoom in so you can see a little bit better. All right, we will jump right in. So we're going to start with the first high-level strategy. So what Mr. Ulrich presented earlier, the mission, what do we do today, why do we exist, the vision, where do we want to be in 20 years, and those five broad goals, those should be around for 10 to 20 years, tweaked a little bit, but maybe not wholesale change. Strategies are about a 3 to 5 year window, and oftentimes will be addressed through multiple actions. When we get into actions, those are kind of what are we going to do this year over the next 12 months, not necessarily through the end of 2021, but give ourselves full 12 months to work through this. So jumping into the first strategy, which is identify and implement operational efficiencies, cost savings, and additional funding sources. Seemed like there was strong consensus to keep this here. There was one recommendation in the survey to add to the end of that word, or that phrase, the following, while maintaining and increasing oversight and transparency / accountability. So a council member suggested adding this language. We're curious if we want to add that, or should we just move on as it is currently listed? So I'll pause for questions there. Otherwise, give me a thumbs up if you're ready to move on, and it's good as is.
I think it's okay to add that other portion with regard to continuing to, when those ideas come forward, present them and get feedback, and I'm not sure because there's not really any specific ones if that is too much in the weeds or not, but
any other council members support adding that language?
say it one more time?
Councilmember Musgrove suggested adding while maintaining and increasing oversight and transparency to the strategy as it exists today. So
I think I would agree with the transparency side of it. I wouldn't want to slow anything down to a certain extent in terms of the oversight, because under the staff ideas, implement the LaserFiche workflow. I want to know more about that, because LaserFiche seems like the worst system in the world. So a lot of this stuff, to me, is you guys understand your workflows better than we do and can basically say, hey, we want to make this better. It's going to save us X amount of hours over the long run. Or at the debt ratio, like, great. Those are absolutely tangible things. I don't know that we necessarily need a whole lot of oversight, but I agree on the transparency side of making sure that we understand at a high level some of the efficiencies and things like that that we're looking at. So that's kind of where I sit, because I wouldn't want to get in staff's way for a lot of this, if that makes sense.
Maybe a Councilmember Musgrove, if it could drop the accountability. I mean, we still have accountability there. We just focus on transparency. Would that be something that you would support?
But I think the description that Councilmember, if I call you Matt,
that's fine.
That Matt gave is more of like transparency, because we're doing a little bit of oversight in making a decision on, you know, well, that, you know, compared to three other methods, this one is more more reasonable in cost, more efficient, that kind of thing. I don't want to get in the weeds either or delay, but I just think that some of that oversight and transparency will get in.
So maybe a quick straw poll. Who is wanting to add, as the in the red box, who's what from council, who's wanting to add that language to this high-level strategy? Anyone? So I'm seeing one. I don't think that's enough to...
I'll say two, just to be nice.
I think consensus, general consensus, maybe not 100%, but it seems like leaving it in its current language is where the direction council needs to go. So unless I hear otherwise, we'll kind of keep moving along. But good suggestions. Keep them going. We don't want to dismiss any good ideas, and that might come back. The two green text boxes are additional action items that came from the staff survey. We see an opportunity. This might be getting in the weeds, but I think it'll help the external communication. Implement a LaserFiche workflow to have our staff do their jobs a little bit better, and then look at opportunities to refinance existing debt to capitalize on some lower interest rate. Can I see if there's a thumbs up, if that's okay to add those two action items, or do we need further discussion?
I guess, what do you want to say? Implement a workflow type tool and not necessarily settle on the tool yet if there is some feedback on the tool?
Or unless you guys have a LaserFiche workflow, you're just saying a workflow tool?
I mean, if you guys are settled on that, again, that's some weeds I don't think we need to get into, but that, just from the feedback from Matt and from, I've heard different clients that they don't like it, but I mean, if you guys have seen it, like it, and love it, that's fine. I mean,
I think if we could just say workflow tool, it could be LaserFiche. It's just because what we have now, and they've been presenting to us some opportunities, but I think if we keep it more generic, that's fine. So we've adjusted it as implement a workflow tool. Are we cool with it at that point?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I just have a more general question. So we're adding these two to the already... Are these the only two action items on here? Because we're not really seeing the action items that are already there to see the two when we're looking at this workflow sheet.
Yep. So
when we agree to these two, then are we going to have any discussion on any others that are already there? I'm just more...
Yep, we're going to walk through each strategy and each action in the plan as presented in the survey. So we will get to ones that are already listed. Good clarifying question. So this would add two new action items, and it seems like we at least have consensus on the first one. And then we will go through the ones that are already listed in the case. We'll go through each page of that survey.
After this?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
So I think we were all good on the implement workflow tool. Are we good on the consider refinancing debt to capitalize on low interest rate? For a thumbs up. Thumbs up. Okay. All right. So now, to Councilmember Musgrove's question, we dive into a couple action, specific actions on the previous strategy. So the first one that we see showing up here is the Implement a Pavement Management Program. So this is something that's currently implemented by franchise fees. This action is not linked directly to franchise fees. As we look at the comments that have come through, it seems that we want to keep that strategy to continue evaluating that pavement management program. Some are supportive of franchise fees, some are not. That's not the level of detail we're going to get in here today. We just want consensus that this needs to stay in the plan, and we will dive into greater detail at a future meeting. So looking for either discussion or a thumbs up if you're fine leaving this action, which is implement a pavement management funding program in the current plan so we can continue to evaluate that, whether or not it's franchise fees or not. Are we good keeping it in the plan, or does anyone want to talk about taking it out of the plan? Mr. Riley?
Well, I mean, I think when I saw this, I thought this was like a check mark. We did this. This is already taken care of, and I didn't expect that we would keep it in here. Although pavement management in itself is a very important area that we need to make sure the residents understand that we understand that. But I thought this was talking about the funding and it would just have a check mark and be removed.
Yeah, I think that's a fair observation. That's certainly one point of view. We could tweak the language too, so if it's the implement that's getting us hung up, we could change that to evaluate the current funding program. Just throwing it out there for ideas.
I guess when I saw this on here, I thought I was glad to see that this was still on here because we would have the opportunity to discuss it more and that the staff was, it's on the strategic plan, but the staff was willing to say, hey, how does this new current council feel about the road management program. And so I'd like to see it on there, and I would like to know, I think that it's no secret that there's a difference of opinion on how to fund the roads, whether it's through the tax levy or whether it's through the franchise fee. So I guess my question is, if we are just now going to determine if this strategy stays on here, when do we have that other conversation about the franchise fee versus other options?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Kurt, I think how I would envision this is this usually starts to populate the future work session topics. And so one of the things I mentioned in the intro would be helpful for me is what are the top two or three priorities? So as we start to think about how soon we schedule these for our work session topics, you know, if this is important enough to discuss, we should hear that here. I think we know that it's an important discussion topic for our council. But how we discuss that is we get it on future work session topics, and you tell us that we need to discuss it sooner rather than later. I would imagine we might have some discussions about it in the budget cycle, too. So starting in July, we can start having those conversations.
My opinion is it's very important, and I'm glad that we're going to be having those discussions. I'm hopeful that we can have those discussions before we have some of our budget meetings. That would be my...
for other discussion. So add, remove, modify. If anyone wants to take a stab at, or should we get a quick straw poll? Who wants to keep this as currently listed in the plan?
Just to add, you had suggested evaluate, I think is probably the proper description of what we want to do. Is okay, are we tracking where we want to go? Is this doing the job we want to do? How did we get here? And is this where we want to continue for the next 5 years as is in the current plan now, or do we want to go to something else? And it does have budget ramifications for sure, but we understand that people are coming from this at a different place, and evaluating the plan was already built into this plan because we wanted to track revenues, make sure they're being used in the right spot, seeing what we can do in terms of projects. The engineer can weigh in on the process and cost efficiencies that we have with this dedicated type of funding. And so I think Evaluate kind of captures all of that, that we need to, we do need to constantly, regardless of which direction we end up going, need to constantly evaluate and take a look at this and make sure it's getting us to the right spot.
I just want to say, too, that part of this process when we get into the budgeting, you know, the fact that we've already passed some contracts that are dependent on this funding source. So, you know, I think going through the budget process is going to be an important piece, because if we were to just say ending the franchise fee today, and then how would you be able to fund the roads or coming up with that plan? I think that budget process going through it, have the road discussion about the franchise fee prior to when we go through it to see where we really sit. So I'm good with changing it to Evaluate.
So let's kind of do a straw poll. If we change it to Evaluate a pavement management funding program, who is cool with leaving it on the plan for now with a thumbs up? Still not there, so we need some more discussion about, do we take it off, or who wants to be so bold to talk about what we need to do? So,
to be honest, I was with Councilmember Riley. I would have removed it as it's currently written, but to Kurt's point, I believe if we say Evaluate the pavement management fund or funding program, I think that's completely valid, and we can continue to have the conversations as to whether it's the right source of funding for this or not. In terms of timing, obviously sooner rather than later. If the budget process starts in July, that's coming up really quick, so we'll have to do it in a work session probably just before that. So I am a firm believer in the franchise fee. I think it's the most efficient way to use it. Use our funds and whatnot, and keep the roads up to date, but I'm all for keeping it in as a strategic goal, because I think there is some accountability to it.
Any thoughts on those that didn't want to support it as Evaluate the pavement management funding program? What was it about that strategy, or are you just looking to remove this from the plan altogether?
I guess I kind of like the way it sounds right now. Just leave it as is.
Even though it's already implemented.
Right, just leave the door open if other people have ideas. Because, implement efficiencies, cost savings. And if there's additional funding sources, I'm not against that. But.
I think that part of this statement is confusing because it doesn't specifically say a program. It's it doesn't say franchise fee funding. It doesn't say tax funding. It says a payment management program funding. And so I think everybody's for a payment management program funding. I just think how we get there, there's a difference. And so this right here doesn't say the franchise fee. It just says a program. And I know that, as Kurt has said, we built into that program just reassessment, reevaluations, and just feedback back to the council instead of letting it run automatically for 5 years, but updates regularly on how it's working, what's going on. Do we need to increase it? Do we need to decrease it? Any of that kind of option. I'm all for leaving it in here, and this right here doesn't say one way or the other. So I'm all for having continued discussion on our pavement management program. If I remember back to our discussions, just for the sake of the new council members, most cities that had a franchise fee also had additional funding sources. So they never just had one, and we do too. We have franchise fee, we have MSA, we have other implementations. So how can we make it better or different? I just think it's important in there. In here, and it's not specific to a type of program, like franchise fees, which we did do. If it would say franchise fees, then I would say take it out of there, because we did that goal. But here, it's just basically reviewing a pavement management funding program wherever the funding source is.
So I think you suggested continued discussions on pavement management funding. It's broad enough. It could be franchise fees, not franchise fees. Still keeps the door open. discussion. Is that what I heard you say?
That's what, when I'm reading it right now, that's what I'm understanding.
What do people think about that? Can you support that language? Thumbs up if you support that language. Otherwise, I have another idea, so don't get stuck on this one.
Say it again.
Continued discussions on a pavement management funding program. Maybe one last poll. Otherwise, I think we'll put a pin on this one and come back so we don't have... This one's a sticky one, and we'll maybe come back either tonight or later. But going back to the existing language, who can support this action as currently listed, which is implement a pavement management funding program? Who likes the existing language? Kind of deadlocked here, aren't we? Let's do this. So I'm getting stuck on this one. We'll come back to that as time allows, and this is not the only time we have to do that. Staff can think of some other ideas if we run out of time tonight, but we don't want to get stuck on this one question. So I do have noted on here to come back so we won't forget. Someone might have to remind me at the end of the night because I'm pretty forgetful, so I apologize for that. All right, so next is a potential modification. So this action was identify and improve one organizational workflow process. This last year was the duty crew for fire. Seemed like there was an appetite to continue that action and identify a new business process within the organization. Haven't seen anything come up right now. So I think first we want to know if we want to keep that general with identifying it, you know, having staff identify that opportunity later as the plan comes back for another discussion before it comes to adoption. Or if you have an idea of what that workflow process improvement is, we would be open to that discussion here. So who wants to keep this action with identifying a new business process to evaluate for 2021? Thumbs up if you want to keep it in the plan.
I think I made a comment on here saying, yes, it's important to have one strategic goal like this that we can call out. I have no idea what that would be. To me, it would be laser fiche because I hate that thing. I don't even use it. So... It's tough to say yes. I believe it is highly important to have a particular goal that we can accomplish, like the duty group. What that is, I do not know. That's my hesitation with this one.
So maybe with the two new action items, this specific one can come off. So we identified two new things just a moment ago. Must be humid in here. The sticky notes are coming down. Which would mean that we remove this specific action item, which is more centered around fire department duty crew. So get a poll of who's okay with just taking this specific action off because we've identified two others earlier on today. All right, we've got a majority, but Councilmember Musgrove, question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. All right, so this one, let me take a note. Take off. All right, awesome. Now we are moving. So there's, at the end of each section of our strategy and the actions to support that strategy, we had a catch-all, are there any other actions we're not missing? And there was a lot of good advisory comments on here, so most of these comments were supporting what's already been spoken about. So it seems like this is an example where we've identified some good advisory comments to support the decisions we're making here today. There's one staff idea, and maybe this is also the replacement to that workflow improvement. Consider a better social media management platform. It was suggested that Hootsuite is a great tool where you can blast out one message across multiple social media platforms in one send button. So it's just kind of an organizational workflow. So can I get a thumbs up if Councilmember Heineman?
Oh, I was just going to ask, was there any other... programs you're looking at, like Sprout or anything like that, or just Hootsuite was the one that was suggested and you got settled on?
We haven't settled on it. Originally, the idea was look at Hootsuite, but as you know it here, like we did earlier, we kept it more generic. So consider a better social media platform, and that allows us to choose in the future. So we haven't settled on anything.
And I know there's a couple of good ones out there. Hootsuite's probably up there with them, but...
And it's free.
Just an idea to keep an eye out.
Yep. So everyone okay with these being advisory comments and looking at that social media platform as an action? Thumbs up. I think I saw most people with the thumbs up. Awesome. Moving right along. This one's pretty cut and dry, pretty standard. Promote economic growth and development. Are we all good with leaving that as a high-level strategy? Awesome. There's one staff idea here to, and we've done a lot of this already, but it's not specifically in the plan, which is essentially make more development sites shovel-ready. That can mean a lot of things. It could be eliminate the unknowns of what the soil conditions are. That could include putting some infrastructure in the ground to get it shovel-ready, but are you okay with an action item over the next year to continue to increase our library of shovel-ready sites for development?
I guess one question or one thought that I had is, I guess what I wouldn't want to see is like the core becoming just a flat land of dirt ready to go.
Right.
I think the trees and stuff are nice. Well, we don't have stuff there. I know you said it's quite a bit below grade in a lot of those places, and it might prevent houses from going there. But, you know, in my opinion, at least those areas, I think we should try to, you know, obviously when someone's interested or if we have a cheap opportunity to make something shovel-ready like we did with the extra dirt, you know, in front of the senior center. But I wouldn't want to see it all just laid out as a flat land ready to go.
Mr. Mayor, good point, and that's why the shovel-ready aspect was added to it. Sometimes that's as much as knowing exactly what the developer needs to do. It doesn't mean that we have to do it. So that northwest quadrant of the core, where it's very low, we can say, here's what it takes to bring it to grade. And whether we help facilitate that or we do it, we don't have to make the decision today. It's just eliminate as many unknowns on a development site as you can.
I have a question on that with regard to staff availability to do that on the land, and then the cost would be recouped with the developer. Is that the thought process? We pay for it ahead of time and then get it back from the developer. I mean, so the cost and then also staff time involved in preparing that, I think is
Yeah, just, I mean, the simple activity of eliminating the unknowns and, you know, having it very clear what the expectations are, doing soil samples where needed, doing some grading analysis. We've done a lot of that for development sites already, and that's what our economic development manager does and should be doing. It's built into their primary role, so just that shovel-ready aspect of it. If we were coming forward with infrastructure investments, if we were suggesting rebuild the roads west of Armstrong or expand the roads west of Armstrong's, when we brought those projects, specific projects forward, we would identify, and the EDA is working through this right now, are we going to recoup certain costs or is it just our contribution? So each project will get into the weeds on each individual aspect of that.
Yep. Could you also add to that maybe our sourcing grants? There may be some opportunities.
So we're not approving these expenditures now. This is really the idea that we're thinking this would maybe be a direction we're heading,
right.
But we would obviously be approving each one of these as they come ahead, and then that would maybe help flesh out some of those things you are asking as they come forward as a case.
Yep.
I also heard, though, that it's already the staff's job. So what are we needing here to add to that? Because it sounds like that's already their role or their duty. So why do we need it in here then?
So I'll use a specific example to help tell that story. It is the area west of Armstrong, an area that EDA, the Planning Commission, are kind of working hand in hand on to redevelop that area around the new West Armstrong Retail Center. And so there's just some policy direction that we need. So staff can do some of that, but we run into, you know, what level of assistance are we going to provide? There's some policy discussions that still need to come forward for council direction. That's kind of what this is aimed at. So we're doing some of the legwork already, but there are some times where, is the city going to contribute to this cost or not? I mean, that's probably the number one question we get. And those policy questions will bring forward. But this just kind of indicates that we're willing to have those conversations.
And any of that possible from TIF funding? I know that's kind of a in the weeds question right now, but I'm just thinking that.
Yes.
Okay.
Potential. So are we cool at this point with this action about looking at infrastructure investments, looking at, not approving, and then trying to get it close to shovel ready as possible for development sites?
Yeah.
Seeing some thumbs up on that one. All right, looks like we've got some consensus on that. Slow me down if you need to. I tend to talk fast in these sorts of things. This action is our business retention and expansion program, our economic development manager. This year, they have scheduled 50-some business visits. Most of them are virtual or via phone right now. Just trying to understand, how is the city doing? What does your growth look like? And is there anything that the city could be doing to facilitate existing businesses continuing to be here or maybe even expanding? So it has been important for the council in the past to have this as a specific action. It's a recurring action, and it seems like consensus is to remain. So thumbs up if you want to keep as is. Awesome. Rolling right along. So this is the catch-all for this strategy now. There are a lot of great advisory comments. The one I wanted to call out as a potential action item shows up back on our strength and weakness exercise over here. So I did wordsmith it a little bit to get it a more strategic plan speak, if you will. So this reformatted comment number two, which was, consider spending a set number of hours per week looking at city code reduction. We've had that conversation in the past. Staff fully supports that and has done some of that. But we would recommend adding this as an action with this language. Complete a comprehensive city code audit and update. We already have to do that with a zoning code because of our comprehensive plan, and we could expand that. We just had a discussion about animals last week, and it's things such as that that come into that. So looking for a thumbs up if we're okay with adding this as an action. Awesome. See, this is easy. All right, new strategy, which is create a positive image for residential neighborhoods, business districts, and key corridors. Last year, we had a robust discussion on this and getting that wording just right. There was a comment in here that had to deal with parks planning. Set that aside. There's a section that deals with park planning. We've already got the comprehensive city code update here, so that's where this will live. So looking for a thumbs up that we want to retain the high-level strategy, create a positive image for residential neighborhoods, business districts, and key corridors. Thumbs up. Awesome. This one, we start to get into either low importance, neutral, not a lot of high importance to this, which was create a streetscape plan for key corridors. We've been trying to pick away at this, but honestly, there's a little bit of staff resource issue. We're just buried with development review and code enforcement. We're hopeful that recent staffing improvements will allow us to get back to this. But given that it's not asked to come off the plan, but it's not also not ranking really high as we have to get it done this year, here is staff's recommendation. In the back of the plan, we have this parking lot list of things that we don't want to forget about, but maybe it's not important enough to get it done this year. That would be our recommendation on this. So looking for a thumbs up if we can move the streetscape plan to the parking lot list for future years. Thumbs up or any discussion?
I guess I have a comment. So part of this, if I remember correct, Tim, was the area, you called it the node that's up by the golf course. Mm-hmm. And that area to just, this is, which golf course?
Rummer Hills.
Yeah, Rummer Hills. Just to kind of make that area better or look nicer for future development or development in that area. And so I'd like to see it on there. I do think it's low importance, though. But I think it can be covered under the strategic plan. I mean, for a create positive image. So I'd like to put it in the parking lot.
And I'll also note that we have two different developers looking at two different sites in that area, and that might be the appropriate time to kind of piggyback on that process, too. So looks like we have thumbs up to put it to the parking lot list. Not leave the list, but future years. So we'll move forward with that. This one, I think we'll do a quick checkpoint. This is the development plan or master plan for the core, which includes some multifamily housing policies, which we have gotten council direction on before. but we've scheduled at the request of the Planning Commission to meet in July. So looking for a thumbs up to just leave it here, at least until our July discussion. Thumbs up if we're okay with that, or do we need further discussion? Not seeing a lot of, I'm seeing some confusion. So those of you that don't want to keep it, can you talk a little bit about why you don't want to keep this in the plan? Mr. Riley.
It's been thoroughly discussed.
Okay. Can it settle down?
There's two parts to this, though. I mean, I think we need to look at the up at the core master plan, but the multifamily housing policy, I agree with Councilmember Riley, we've already discussed that and rehashed it several times. So I want to keep it here because I want to be able to look at that master plan for the core, at least just to have some discussion about it. So I didn't know how...
If the mayor has a question.
Well, I think, you know, my thoughts on it are we need to provide housing for all levels. We, you know, we want to bring business into the core. We have to have places for those folks to live too. So I think we have to have a broad spectrum of different levels of housing. You know, so I don't necessarily think we should be rolling out the multi-level housing. But as soon as we put it in here, it fills up. The core is where it's destined to be. So I would just as soon have the discussion with the Planning Commission.
So I'm putting it out there for discussion. You can tell me I'm reading this incorrectly. This is your plan, but I'm not seeing enough support to keep the multifamily housing policy on the plan. I'm curious if anyone is willing to keep, if we took that off, is there anyone willing to still keep in the plan the discussion on the core master plan, and if not, maybe why not? So I'm seeing four people that would want to have discussion about the core master plan, at least four. So to me, that seems like we should keep it in. There's enough support. If it came to an official vote, it would pass. So I'm going to move on unless anyone tells me any differently.
Would you be breaking it apart and just having the core master plan review?
Yeah, so for clarification, we would strike out the multifamily housing policies and keep just the downtown master plan. Councilmember Heineman, you had your hand up for a second there.
No, I was just going to ask the same clarifying question. I'm up for the downtown master plan being left in and striking out multifamily housing.
Okay. Let me put that note so I don't forget. Perfect. Acknowledging that there's not full consensus on that one, we're going to move forward, unless told otherwise, with that assumption. All right, the next specific action, which is the multifamily property management program, skewing more towards remove slash low importance. This one's kind of all across the board. So here's what staff would recommend. This would be a parking lot list item. We think it's important. Chief Caters has done a lot of research in crime-free multifamily housing and presented some of those findings to the council. We know it's resource intensive. On top of that, we have a new code enforcement officer who's getting more involved in the rental licensing program. We would recommend putting in the parking lot list, coming back in a year so we can do a couple of things. Evaluate that crime-free multifamily a little bit more, but more importantly, see the effects of the zoning code enforcement officer and if that gives us the resources we need to accomplish that. So looking for a thumbs up if people are okay putting this. Councilmember Riley.
I think there might not be a good understanding of exactly what we're talking about here, and I would like maybe we have some discussion about, I'll say why I think this is important, and what it is, and why I think we should keep it in. And I guess maybe I'll start and you fill in.
Okay.
So my thought here is we have the apartments in the core. And we need to make sure that they stay looking nice. So there's a code enforcement and a visual aesthetic, but also the fact that they don't become a burden on public safety and that we are following the crime-free stuff, which is kind of a new thing. And so we're getting ahead of making sure that our apartments stay nice, that our residents stay good and this doesn't become a problem that everybody is concerned about with apartments being kind of clumped in downtown. And I think it's important that we have this policy and figure out what that policy is and stay ahead of it.
And I would agree it's a good strategy to stay ahead of it. We do have a high-quality housing stock right now. We're not that old. Some
right, they're new, so they need to stay that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then the other thing I will encourage council to do maybe tonight or next time you walk through, walk past residents at the core. There's some townhome units that face Sunwood Drive. They have the steps up to the front door that face on the Sunwood. Look at the rock face block. It's less than 10 years old, probably even less than that. That rock face block, which is purely decorative, by the way, it's not structural, it's starting to rot away. They're starting to patch it, but these, if we don't keep up with the maintenance, then they tend to deteriorate. We have property maintenance code. We have staff to do that, but this, to me, seems like it wanted to be more proactive, especially with multifamily, so those issues don't perpetuate. So Musgrove and West Staff.
So don't we have that... Is that an HOA? Is that an HOA? The housing, the apartments that you were just referring to?
So, Councilmember Musgrove, an HOA is a group of individual property owners that have some additional regulations on a neighborhood, typically in townhomes. Residence at the core is purely rental, so it's one owner with a maintenance staff, either contracted out or part of their staff. So that's not an HOA, but it's a single owner with their own on-site maintenance.
Okay, so like a limited HOA kind of, like they're only just doing one part. Maybe. Okay, so they're under the city code, right? So this would be, according to that program that Chris is referring to, a step above that with enforcement and applying this city code. I'm just trying to understand where city versus private comes in, and you know, I don't want to have the city have too much of a burden on it, but yet I want to still be respectful of trying to keep ahead of that issue so that it's not more expensive for the city later on.
So Mr. Riley, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it is the proactive nature. So instead of being reactionary like we are in traditional code enforcement, it's proactive, and so maybe we're reaching out and making contacts in addition to any enforcement. So we're just collaborating annually. You know, maybe it's a network meeting with all of the multifamily property owners, things that were discussed in the past. So a better conduit of communication, more proactive. I think that's how it started. And Chief Caters, if you give us the 60-second clip note version of what in the world is crime-free multifamily housing, the program we started to look at but realized we don't have the resources to do it right now.
Right, yeah. The crime-free multi-housing program is specific to public safety calls for service, and it also has to do with reducing crime in multifamily units. So things like making sure that these property managers have proper leases. The leases contain things like criminal behavior could break your lease, things like that, because we know that property management is not the same across the board. In my experience, the ones that are more engaged and more active, we have less problems with. But the crime-free multi-housing program is a crime prevention program. It doesn't address the things like Tim talked about with the, we have maintenance codes and things like that. The crime-free multi-housing is specific to crime occurring within these units. There has been some challenges. I think St. Louis Park challenged it. There was said there was some bias towards that crime-free multi-housing program. So there has been some challenges to it, but the one aspect of it, and I'll try to stay within my minute here, is you have to have codes. Every agency that we talked to said, if you don't put this in city code and make it mandatory, you're not going to get compliance. Because the poor property management companies or whatever are going to say, no, we're not going to voluntarily do it. Why are we going to voluntarily do it? You have to mandate. So that's the caveat to it. But it has to be across the board. But you set the high-level goals for this program.
So from my perspective, I think we're talking about two different things, and I actually agree with both of them. Like, I would say crime-free multifamily is an important thing for us to tackle. I would want to know more about what resources it's going to take especially as we continue to develop that core, we have to protect that area to a certain extent and prevent as much crime as we can. And I think, especially nowadays, the feedback that I get from residents and just overall is the more we engage the police department with the community and just community involvement, the better off it is for everyone. So I think that's maybe a separate section of this as a strategic conversation. I agree with the property management program and things like that, but perhaps it's a wholly separate topic or a separate work session or something. Those are my thoughts.
Ryan, online?
Yeah, I'd agree with Councilmember Riley on this, leaving this in. I mean, anybody who's done like criminal justice classes know about the broken window theory, and as things start to deteriorate over time, it just encourages more, you know, unpleasant taking care of the community. So I think leaving this in makes sense for protecting not only the residents, but protecting the image of the core and helping bring businesses back in. So I don't know why we would take this out.
So with that in mind, and this will come back, give staff the opportunity to weave in the proactive enforcement and crime-free multifamily housing aspect. With that clarification, did Mr. Riley convince you to keep it in for this year? All right, it wins. Nice job. All right, catch you all here again. I'll walk through a couple of these. So it talks about prioritize maintenance of trails and city-owned land, discuss it later in plan, and we get it on the city-owned land, we'll do that as well. Improving signage would be helpful. That's part of our streetscape plan. That's now our parking lot listed. It looks like we have an advisory comment here about needing a diverse option of housing stock. We talked a lot about that here. That didn't seem like a specific action, but just putting it out there. And I forget where this came from, a staff idea. There was a comment that came from staff that said, and maybe we would have covered this with the last action we refined, but it talked about community buy-in. This can't be just the city enforcing. How do we collaborate with the community? And maybe this doesn't make sense after the discussion we had, but is there a way to create a volunteer program? Or are the structures we already have in place or already discussed, are those good enough? I just leave that here of wanting to bring the community along in this discussion, the decision. I didn't know how to phrase that appropriately, but Mr. Westhoff.
Yeah, I think that's actually a great staff idea. A point of reference, a couple of weeks ago, Eric Peters, who's on the Planning Commission in the Brookfield neighborhood, and thanks to Public Works, we got some vests and we cleaned up. I can't even remember what it was, like now then between 166. It was basically four long blocks, but we just walked down the street, and that was all community-driven, done through like a Facebook event or whatever. But if the city could back that in a very careful way, not saying come clean up our streets, but if you're going to clean up your streets and you need a vest or something like that, maybe that's just a quick communication to say, if you guys, if citizens want to take more responsibility for their neighborhoods, we can help do that and facilitate that. So I think naming it as a volunteer program or something like that, but creating opportunities for residents to take care of their property as just a resident, there might be some good overlaps there.
So knowing that it needs a lot of work and staff will go there, we'll assume that Mr. Westhoff just nailed it, and that's great language. Are you cool with adding this to the plan as a specific action? Looking for a thumbs up on that one? We got four right now. Those that are concerned about that, any talking points, help us understand what the concern is? Is it you just don't like the idea? Does it need more wordsmithing? Or do we just want to move on knowing there's enough support to at least continue the conversation?
And I'm definitely not against the volunteering things. I think sometimes it's more effective, though, when it's community-driven and led and started, you know, when I think it's the city coming in saying, who's going to come volunteer and do work for us? You know, it's like, doesn't quite have the same necessarily effect or reach, but I guess that depends how it's done or what it's done, but I think we don't want to have our staff spend a lot of time on trying to think of volunteer opportunities, and I don't want your focus to be on that, where I think we can let that be community-driven.
Yeah. Councilmember Heineman?
No, I mean, like, if along lines of Councilmember Speck, it's just a question of resources, and if the community's doing it, I think that's great. I do think maybe if we can work it into the strategic plan for communications as far as social media posting, things of that nature, so we can kind of kill two birds with one stone. That makes sense, but making it a strategic initiative, I think, might be too consuming for resources.
Okay, so a little bit split here. I think we'll keep it in for now, and you'll have a chance to take it off again in the future when it comes forward to formal adoption. We'll try to encapsulate that discussion a little bit better, and we'll just kind of see where that takes us. If I start moving too fast to try to keep us on track, please interject. Make sure I don't move too fast. Moving on to high-level strategy, a little bit split, but still high important strategy. It's a strategy without specific actions in the plan right now. Enhanced community engagement and policy decision-making processes. I think the realization staff came to be is this is just part of our culture. We don't need a specific action item to it. We don't have to identify each and every time we need to do it. It's just what we do. So we thought that this, because it wasn't, you know, limited to a specific action or a deadline, we thought that we could put this in a little bit different than the parking lot list section, which was still a specific action, just not in the next 12 months. We ran into this issue last year, too, of what do we do with some of these that are a little bit more recurring, open-ended, things that we just do, and that created this culture section at the end of the plan. So staff's recommendation at this point is to move the enhanced community engagement and policy decision-making processes to just kind of a general, this is our organizational culture section, so we don't have to worry about identifying a task. Thumbs up for those that can support that. Awesome. Thank you. Catch all this one. We talked about I like using our resident survey, so that's a great resource. And again, it felt more like an advisory comment, so I think we'll take it as that unless there are any objections to doing so. Wrong direction. Started going backwards. New strategy, improve the safety, mobility of transportation corridors. We think that's still important for what we do. Can we get consensus that this should stay on as a high-level strategy? Thumbs up. Improve safety and mobility of transportation corridors. It's question 17. Awesome. Okay. Complete a County Road 5, now then Boulevard, corridor study, kind of a more comprehensive view of now then Boulevard. As we saw lots of different developments at the time, we have more coming. I'm going to defer to Bruce for just a second and put him on the spot. We talked about this a little bit. Tony talked a little bit about cost share. Do you have any updates on kind of where we could be at that? Have we gotten any traction from Anoka County on that? We're still waiting for them to get excited to jump in with us.
Short answer, no traction yet.
Yeah. Okay. So it seems that this group wants to still keep this as a specific action in our plan. Can I get a thumbs up for those that agree with that? Okay.
Only if the county's on board.
Well, this will help push that. Or Councilmember Riley, you have a comment there?
Well, I guess question kind of, this was on our strategic plan a year ago, and you've already defined these are things that we want to get done in a year. Will this be done in a year? Is this a one-year goal?
It's been on there.
It's maybe been on there more than 1 year. I had to point it out.
So that's a good point, and it has been on there for quite a while, and as you'll recall, as we start talking about this, all of a sudden a project will pop up. The new elementary school completely changes the dynamics of traffic on County Road 5, and all of a sudden people start talking about what's that doing to 5 and the intersection of 167. And now all of a sudden we start getting the Hunt and Mikulski properties. Now what do 100 or 400 new properties do to that? So that with the evolving development in that area, it's kind of, it keeps changing the discussion, and plus, Milton County is just so overwhelmed with other projects right now that's why they've kind of just gone away from talking about this. So I think that the timing of this study is going to be critical. That's just I think it's probably not quite to the point where it would make sense to do this study. I think when the Mikulski and the Hunt properties develop, that would probably be a better time to do that. Just my.
Parking lot.
Does it look bad that we put Highway 5 corridor study in a parking lot? But I agree. Trying to have a little fun.
Realistic.
Not appropriate.
Councilmember Musgrove.
I guess I would just like more clarification on how long it would take to do it, and are we wanting the county to do it versus us doing it? Is that the thought process behind Bruce's comment?
By the way, so yes, the county offered to assist with this study. They could do a lot of the legwork internally. They have a traffic engineering department. They could help us with this, but right now they're just too vested in other areas of the county to do this work at this time. So,
including Highway 10.
Including Highway 10.
So wouldn't some of this study help us with some of the other, I mean, there's other developments along this corridor as well, but wouldn't it help us with some of the developments that are coming up to know more about the costs and just some of the things that we would need to implement in some of those developments?
So my opinion is that I think with each one of those developments, it's kind of a picture in time. And so what we really want to get at on Highway 5 is the big picture, the long-term improvements that need to happen along that corridor. Each one of these projects that come along and do their spot improvements as they go along. But I think when we do this study, we need to be looking at the big picture. So with the Mikulski and the Hunt sites up there, knowing at least what those developments sort of look like, the number of units, all that, that's going to help us get to the bigger picture. So, the timing is everything. If you do one this year and you get another development that comes in, then that study, you can just take that, throw that away, because now you need to do another one.
So, Bruce, another way I always look at it, too, is we can handle the individual developments. We can put traffic studies on them, and that, like, for the Mikulski and Hunt Edition, we know that intersection that now then. We know that they have to study that traffic. We can deal with that here and now. But then you've got 167th in the County Road 5, which has no development, and it's becoming more unsafe, and so it's not a related development, so we have to handle it in a different way. That's where it gets to be important. So one way, just a recommendation, why I would keep it with a date on here, it puts a little bit more urgency in the county. My fear is if we parking lot this one, they're going to parking lot as well, and it's just going to push it out even further. Just something to think about, your plan, your recommendation. And Kurt, I thought maybe you were trying to get in here too.
Yeah, I was going to suggest another approach would be to get the county to fund part of a consultant study. So we would manage a consultant, so say it costs $25,000, $30,000. County agrees to give $15,000, we give $15,000, we have a consultant do a study along there. And part of the history of this that really, I think, first started the Highway 5 discussions were the traffic issues at Ramsey Elementary, where real concern for the kids and crossing and traffic in that area was something that was very, very important to the community at the time that kind of drove this discussion initially. And everything else that's been mentioned, the new elementary school and the problems with 167th that and Mikulski's property, that's all come afterwards. But these studies will project, okay, if all this land develops, then what is this traffic on this roadway going to look like? So they'll take into account our future land use plans and what that adds to the corridor. So I think a consultant study is a reasonable alternative, but that necessarily does take some staff time. Even though it's a consultant, there's still a staff person and probably Bruce that would have to manage that. But it's a little less than having to do a lot of the legwork ourselves.
Councilmember Riley, Musgrove.
Well, the city has made commitments to residents and neighborhoods over the years about doing this study. Every time we allow new development, because as you said, it started with Ramsey Elementary, but then when we did the old municipal center, that brought in a bunch of questions. I know I have fielded many questions of the Sunwood intersection, and this is all funneling down, and as you pointed out, things have changed, but I can't imagine it ever gotten any better. So, we've pushed this down the road for a very long time. I do think it's really important that it stays on here, and I guess I do like the idea if we have to fund it with consultants and that's how we get it done, then and I guess maybe we're getting into a little deep here, but I guess I would say it needs to stay the big picture, and maybe that is a really good discussion about how we do get it done within a year.
So with that, are you at discussion?
Yes. So I would agree with Councilmember Riley, and I like the idea of a consultant, because I was thinking of 164th and that area down there farther. Even though we're looking at development farther up, there's also development farther down, and all of that traffic's going to impact that. And I know there were some concerns from residents on that. So I'm in favor of keeping it on there and considering the consultant. I don't know how my fellow council members feel.
Thumbs up on that, or Mayor?
I think that, you know, it would be important that we get an ANOCA to come in to be a part of that, because we can figure out our portion, and once we get an ANOCA, if they're not buying into it, that really makes a difference. Just back up right there. So if we can get an ANOCA to buy into it, because it's got to go all the way up.
So I'm hearing, looking for thumbs up to keep it in as currently drafted. Awesome. Advance the Ramsey Gateway, U.S. Highway 10/169 plan. Thumbs up to keep. Don't even need to talk about that one.
Let's forget about that one.
Every year we talk about Highway 47 and whether that's on here. Staff recommendation is major improvement going on at Bunker 47 right now. If you're driven through the corridor, it's a little bit difficult to get through. Maybe not a good study for the next 12 months, but put in the parking lot list and bring it back next year for discussion. Looking for a thumbs up for that idea, or does anyone want to keep it now? Seeing a majority thumbs up and parking lot listed. This is a staff idea, more focused on pedestrian safety and crosswalk enhancement. So look, I think kind of rewarded is enhancing the priority streetlight plan to improve intersection safety. I'm going to go out on a limb and say either Bruce or Grant wrote this one, maybe. anything you'd want to say to how I have it listed here? Does that look like a good strategy to add based off a staff idea? Basically improve pedestrian crosswalk safety and general intersection safety. Councilmember Musgrove, and I've got a couple of thumbs up.
I just looking at some of the different, I know I had a constituent have some concerns about this type of thing. Even just to look at some different ways that we can address some of that, maybe not the most expensive, but just some ways,
right.
I'm for that.
Okay.
I just want to say that we had somebody from, I don't know if it was MnDOT or was somebody that came to Public Works and talked about the different signs, and the value of how a flashing sign. I mean, that was a really good discussion.
I don't know, as an action item, along 47, south of Eskimo, there's about a three-property block where there's no trail. There's trail below it that goes places. There's trails above it. Could we prioritize getting that trail through there? It's been 10 years that I've been talking about it.
Yep, and through a state health improvement grant. Mark Brewer-Blood had done an analysis of gap as we were looking at where are we going to close gap. There's too many gaps for us to close all at once. So what are the priorities? And we have some of that legwork now, so we could add this too. That becomes more of a pedestrian safety. And the second thing I'll note is there is a likely development proposal south of Holiday Station Store. Owner wants to convert it from retail to residential, townhome style. We told them that at Council might not go for that, so no promise has been made, but they're going to push to bring that forward. But regardless of what the development did, that's our opportunity to plug that gap. That's kind of our focus point, but if we're not going to wait, we can look at about plugging that gap now. So I'll just go ahead and add trail gap analysis as well. So with all of that,
So we're saying park this, yet we're having ideas for what to do with it, so we wouldn't park it then, instead do this?
So, Highway 47, that study, we've already parking lot listed this one. I apologize. The one we're talking about now is the staff idea, which starts as priority street lighting plan. So, improving lighting at key intersections. And now we're adding some of the pedestrian safety, and we're adding trail gap analysis as part of that. Seeing some thumbs going up on that one? Awesome. Better hit save, right? New strategy, connect the community both physically and socially to destinations, services and activities. We spent a lot of time discussing this and changing wording last year when we did this. I think there are some that want to see more clarity on the strategy, so I will defer to council on that. And then based off of number two, that seems to deal more with not like the parks capital side of things, but the recreation program, arts, culture, community. We do have a recreation plan, so staff is suggesting adding, review the new recreation plan with the council as part of an action. But let's first look at the strategy. We'll do a gut check first. Who is comfortable with the strategy as currently drafted, indicated by a thumbs up? Nobody's comfortable with this one as currently drafted. Does that mean, I'll ask this question, do you want to remove this high-level strategy? Looking for a thumbs up if you want to remove the strategy.
Personally, I think it's just written poorly.
So that's where I'm going to go. So it sounds like we need to change the wording. So these are council's words.
Well, I wasn't on council. So it's not
oh, I wasn't on council. Oh,
it wasn't me.
Actually, Riley wrote every one of these.
I wrote it. It was me.
So I'm gonna kick this one back to you. I don't know what to write here. So staff, feel free to jump in. Council. So it seems to be more about the recreation, maybe connectivity. When we look at the actions, let's see, maybe some of the actions.
So Tim just had. So this actually emanates from the objective of an active and connected community, and it's not just connecting via trailways and roads and that sort of thing, but actually pulling people together with events and recreational opportunities and festivals and things like that. So it's pretty broad. It encompasses both the physical connections as well as kind of helping, you know, creating opportunities for people to get together and meet and greet each other to build community. So that's what it was meant to cover. It probably could easily be two separate strategies, one focusing on physical connections, the other one focusing on arts and recreation and that type of programming, if the council wanted those two in, or you could separate them and choose one or the other. Depends on what's important to the council.
From my perspective, if this is the high-level strategy, we could just leave it as connect the community to destinations, services, and activities, and then the action items that are associated with it become, you know, this is a physical space thing, this is a recreation plan thing. That's how I would structure it.
Other thoughts? Just kind of general discussion around that, or give me a thumbs up if you like, or counts my respect.
I guess this ties kind of into the next one you showed, too, with the park plan. I mean, even based on some of the feedback of the gentleman who spoke at the last council, you know, kind of it's a staff thing, the reason why, but I feel like a lot of times our current parks, feedback I hear is they seem more neglected, they're not as kept, or we don't add things because they're concerned about, you know, vandalism or things. But instead, we always have this master plan of, you know, connecting everything and making the thing big and new, and, well, those are good things, and we need to also make sure we can maintain what we have. So I guess that I think that would be a focus I'd rather see of let's maintain and improve what we have versus spending money maybe doing that versus spending money connecting, you know, physically.
So here's a thought, and maybe we don't have to figure out the exact language today. I rely on staff to come back with that, but maybe the overarching strategy deals with, as Kurt had mentioned and Councilmember Westhoff, it's kind of the strategy, which then gets to the actions that Spect had mentioned, is both parks, which is the capital, the parks, the trails connecting the parks, and then the recreation, which is the programming side of things. So if we had the strategy kind of focused around those two elements and then dove into the strategies, the park plan is going to deal with new parks and existing parks. The recreation plan is going to deal with the programming, two separate actions under this umbrella. Would that make the strategy work? Thumbs up if you like it.
Yeah, it needs to be reworded. I don't necessarily, I guess I'd like to see what it looks like with that separated out. I mean, we can work on the trails and then people can choose to go on them or not to go on them. But I think to be able to maintain the parks, maintain the trails are those things that we need to consider. So having a strategy of, you know, maintaining the parks, maintaining existing parks, maintaining trails is more of a strategy with that 3 to 5 year plan, and then which ones we're going to work on as far as action plan. I don't know if that is what you were thinking. I'm okay with that. I don't like to think of us as a city needing to make sure somebody has something to go to all the time. I think that we provide some activities throughout the year, and if people choose to, good. People may not choose to, and so to continue to spend a lot of resources and time on trying to create an activity for everybody, we're never going to be able to do that.
Let staff try to work through that, and we'll present something that I think gets at what the consensus here just was. So agree with that. So there was a, so that now we get into the actual items. So coming up in a second here will be the parks plan, the capital side of things. But based off of the comment from council here about feedback on arts, culture, community, the idea of adding an action item, which is the programming side of the strategy, review of our current recreation plan. Is that a good action item to add to this plan at this point? Looking for a thumbs up. All right, thumbs up, so that has been added.
Halfway there now, 20 out of 40.
Halfway. Then there's the park system plan, which didn't rank super high, but I think it was misinterpreted as being focused on new parks, and that's not what it's about. So far, to tie back to our tool in the wall here, there's a lot of discussion about existing parks. There are more comments about existing parks in the survey than any other topic. Staff would advocate to keep this action item knowing that it's going to work to solve the existing park renovation side of thing. So with that in mind, looking for a thumbs up if you're okay with leaving that action item in the plan. Not seeing a lot of consensus here, so some questions.
I was just going to suggest, I mean, the comments and what we've already heard and then the comments here seem to make it really clear that it needs to be tweaked. Well, yeah, I mean, complete a park system plan, I don't think covers the sentiment being conveyed.
And so, as Tim and I had some discussion today, I think that just from the results of the survey, the council would like to see stuff done. Like, let's upgrade our existing parks. Let's improve the quality of the parks we have, which seems to echo the citizen survey that, okay, we've got a lot of parks, but a lot of them are not maintained to the level that they should be, frankly, for the neighborhoods. The equipment is old and outdated, and we're not able to maybe mow as often as we should. So the language should be something like, we're done with planning, we need to implement some park improvements. So implement neighborhood park improvements or implement citywide park improvements. Some language like that that gets more towards intent, not just a plan, but to actually do an action item.
So just trying to get us in the ballpark, and staff can refine this and bring it back, but this is probably more engineering speak. I was trying to find something that was close to the pavement management program, which worked out well, but and then taking in Kurt's suggestion here, but maybe it's as simple as complete parks capital replacement improvements for existing parks. It needs to be worked. I just want to know if we're in the ballpark, and we can come back. So looking for a thumbs up if that's a workable solution. And a majority. Anyone want to talk about something different or refine it?
I would like to be able to tie into that some component of the funding, because I know with new development there's new parks. With the existing parks, you know, maybe an action plan would be, you know, where is that funding going to be, or what's going to be allotted for that year, so that we can continue to demonstrate to residents that we do care about those existing parks and we need to work on maintaining them, and this is how we're going to end up doing that.
And I added and funding plan to that strategy, so that should capture that. So I'm going to move on, unless anyone really wants to talk through that. Let me know if I'm going too fast. There was one advisory comment, or what I think is an advisory comment, That's a website, Ramsey Newsletter, so it's kind of covered under the communications plan, so we're just going to park that as an advisory comment unless anyone wants to talk about that. If we take a pause here, does anyone need to take a break? Do you want to keep powering through? We've done a lot of great work. We're a little over halfway there. Do you want to keep powering through, or do you want to take a break? Power through?
At least for another half, or 20 minutes.
Okay. Let me know when you need a break.
What's at 8:30?
TV show or something.
Yeah. Strategy.
20 minutes.
Customer service through process improvement. This is one that, another strategy without an action. The thought of it is important, but we don't have a lot of specific actions. It's just something we do. It wasn't ranked super highly. So we would move this to the organizational culture section of the plan. People agree with that? By a thumbs up. Awesome.
So that one was a remove?
It was kind of moved to the culture section. So okay. It's kind of a recurring theme, but it doesn't have a date or a specific action. Let's see here. Other actions around the strategy of enhancing customer service and process improvements. A lot of these were advisory, continuing education opportunities. Communications shows up here again, so we defer to the communications plan. There was this discussion about returning calls to residents, tracking complaints. So in Kurt and I's discussion, we have some systems that we track some of our activities, code enforcement, land use application permits. We once tried to do this with what was called a customer request management system. And it was more work to manage than the value we were getting out of it, so we ended up getting rid of that, but we can have that discussion again. So the action, because I think this is good action of, action being review existing metrics and systems that actually track some of that and see if that gets us close to what we need to do. I suspect some of that is going to have to do along with permits and code enforcement, and maybe that's really what we need to focus on. And then we can review what we used to have for the previous CRM. So it's more of a review of what we do and what we've previously done. So that would be the suggested action based off of a comment from a council member here. Are we cool with adding our council member West to have?
I just had a quick question. Do we? How many phone calls a day do we get as a city? Like, is it a lot? Really?
I don't know.
I mean, as a resident, the last thing I want to do is call the city because I feel like it'll be a black hole and never come out of.
Oh, you get to talk to Pam.
There's a lot of calls.
Yeah, and every
I don't know how to quantify that.
Every group is different. Like, we used to have an immense call volume for permits. Then we went e-permits and e-scheduling, and I mean, we still get a lot, but nowhere near what we did. You know, it's a lot of coming to the counter, and even that has dropped. So this is one where, I just don't want to over-design the process to address what the issue is. We have metrics, and I think part of this is going back through our balanced scorecard that we created several years ago. So how long do we have to plow streets? For more than 8 hours, then we know we have some sort of issue to address. We get permits out in a certain amount of days. If we're going over that, I'm going to hear it, you're going to hear it, they're going to show up at citizen input and we address it there. So I don't know. I think we want to take it seriously. I think we want to review what we do currently first and then decide if there's any additional additions to that. But I'll defer to whoever made this comment because I think it's a valid comment.
Well, I think it's a valid comment too, but I think what you just talked about in terms of permits, that's a great example of could we reduce the staff overhead of phone calls by properly communicating and having other systems in place to actually let residents do their things? Because the younger the residents get, the less likely they are to pick up the phone. Like, I don't even think my kids are going to be able to dial a phone.
Customer respect.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, even like you said, e-permits, and maybe it's already exists on websites, so I feel foolish saying it. But, I mean, we can easily, you know, submit your feedback here, and then they can just send it and hold it to talk to somebody, you know, and group the feedback that way. The more I think about the CRM system, you know, I do have second thoughts as well. As you wouldn't want to get out, you wouldn't want it to get out that, yeah, we have a file on all these people, you know, like we track every time you call us or every time you do anything with the city, and kind of big brother perception. But yeah, I don't know, that's my thought on it, I guess, though, as I think about it. Although, I mean, I work with CRM systems constantly, all day long.
So let's do a check in the interest of time. Who wants to add this as an action item as currently presented?
Yeah,
I'm seeing some support, some opposition, but not enough support to move forward.
I guess I just wanted to just throw another thought out there. Like, with a new website, could we introduce a chat feature where that would probably be more work too.
Just make it a five. That's a great idea.
Thanks. That's going to be more work.
So I think
Grant will be right on that.
We're losing them.
On the way.
Just to support the comment that the website, we get more and more inquiries or people answering their questions through the website, and that has some tracking ability too, and being able to, for people to email in a question and to track what our response was, that's going to be a lot easier than phone call questions and trying to track those. So I think your point is valid, is that the website, a really good, well-designed website that answers 80% of people's questions easily and efficiently and intuitively would be of value to the city, and also give us some good data about how good we are at getting back to people.
So I think the action is more about interactive, and I saw this somewhere else too, some sort of interactive request feature. But whether that's a chat in the website or a link to an email, we had that for a while where you can populate the email string, so it'll populate an exact subject line. We had some success with that as well. So how about the action of, as part of the website refresh, introduce some sort of interactive request feature, short of CRM. Thumbs up for that idea? Nice job.
I think that resonates with us more than the tracking, and it sounds like it's going to be more.
You're going to have a chip up on each resident.
All right.
You're losing it. That's
hilarious. High level strategy, new strategy, enhance sustainability. So think this originated with a sustainability focus, and efficiency through public facilities and infrastructure investments. So this is where our water treatment plant is. This is where our public works campus is. Seemed to rank pretty high. There was a comment here that seems a little bit wordy. Do we want to revise the actual action item? So I'm going to first do a gut check. Who's okay by indicating with a thumbs up as currently drafted with the sustainability and efficiency? Who's comfortable with it as presented? I think we have at least four that are comfortable with it drafted. I'm curious if anyone wants to talk about how they would improve it. Anybody?
I mean, it does sound cheesy, but it's fine. I get it. I mean,
these are your words, they're not ours.
Oh, come on.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. We'll have another shot at it when
Ryan's
it comes forward. Ryan, thank you.
Well, I'm just wondering, for clarification, enhance, do you have any further definition of what enhancing stability and efficiency looks like?
I think it's just,
are you talking adding more charging stations or adding solar panels, or what do we mean by that?
Yeah, good question. I think it's just acknowledging doing more than what we're doing now. What that exactly means, I think our EPB will have a good role in this. And there is a suggested add-on about electric vehicles here, and it's already in the draft EDA plan. So I think it's just doing more around sustainability and natural environment than what we're doing now. So it's kind of, this has evolved over several rounds and kind of mixed public facilities and sustainability over time. I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's not a hill I would die on, but I'd like to comment in the bottom about that we do this well, but we don't really market it well enough. So, I mean, I would be in favor for spotlight sustainability and efficiency through public facilities, but it's not a hill I need to die on, so it's up to you guys.
But people feel throwing a thumbs up, changing it to spotlight sustainability.
I think it forces us to do it more anyway.
I think all of it comes with a cost, and so, how much is the cost now and then? I just think being efficient with sustainability, like we saw today, some of the things in the building were done, and they're going to be better, but they're not necessarily more expensive or out of the ordinary from just normal building structure or building standards now to make the building more sustainable for future use.
Okay. So then change to spotlight. There was some good consensus. Sorry, you're on the losing end of that one, Mr. Specht. There was too far. Comment from council talked about solar and electric vehicles. So what we would recommend is adding this as an action item. Number four, we'll wordsmith it, but it's focused on solar, talking about it more, what we're already doing, talking about an electric charging station for cars in the ramp, maybe doing a little bit more. There's suggestions about apparently PD is going to get some hybrids in their community service vehicles, so that's kind of a cool, neat thing. But look, the suggestion is add that as a new action coming from council, and some of that's reflected in the draft EPB plan that you'll see in the coming weeks as well. Councilmember Howell, you sit as the liaison to that board. I don't know if you have anything else to add about the EPB work plan on this that might be of value. Or?
Sure. Yeah, so the EPB, I know for the board, the charging stations was a high priority item for them. They really wanted to see the council discuss that.
Perfect. So thumbs up if you're okay with adding this as an action item.
I'm private industry doing that versus city, so I'm glad to have the discussion about it, but.
Okay. All right, well, I'm not seeing enough support to add that, so I better make that note to myself. All right. The staff, jump in at any time if you have things to add as well. Water treatment plant as a specific action. Seems that there's good consensus to keep. Can I get a thumbs up to keep the water treatment plant in the plan? Awesome. Hey, we got a really good success story we just saw tonight. Public Works Campus is already done. Strong consensus that we don't need it in the plan anymore. Thumbs up. It's still going to happen. Don't worry. We're not going to take it away.
Just leave it as is right now. Let's not put any more.
Just kidding. We're selling it for
it's a trick.
Just
fix that one.
Almost there, Grant.
I know.
We're selling it to Anoka.
All right, we're getting closer. So this is the catch-all. Are we missing anything? Dealing with the spotlight, sustainability, and efficiency. One idea we had, so we've talked a lot about Brookfield. We've talked a lot about Riverstone South and funding that. This is just an idea to float for discussion. Similar discussions happened in Andover. They set aside some dollars for the sole purpose of locally funding open space preservation. Probably won't fly here, but we thought we'd throw the idea out here based off some comments that we've heard in the survey here. But is there any appetite for putting some dollars to buying up our own dollars, not so much grant dollars, but our own dollars for open space preservation? It's okay if the answer is no. We're just having a conversation.
You just assume and let us talk.
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean by that exactly?
I know, actually.
And are there any areas that the city or anyone has in mind in particular?
Yeah, so I'll just use the Andover example and how they went about it. And I'm not an expert on it. We do have a resident of Andover that might have been around for that. But they actually went out to their residents and an advisory ballot question. You want to levy some certain dollars for the sole purpose of preserving some of this open space that's not already protected from development that was occurring at a rapid pace. And there was strong support from the residents, so we would kind of emulate that, ask the residents if something you want to do or not, and if the answer is no, we would probably move on. So it is dollars that they use to acquire parcels or easements or however you want to go about it. We'd probably do it as fee title, learning what we've learned as of late. So, for example, we'd have a
like
funding.
Those trees, like for example, the old growth.
What's that?
Like for example, that old growth area.
Right. Yep, that's where I was going. So we would have our own dollars available that we could have applied to the Riverstone South example. So we would have levy dollars, local tax dollars, put it into account, and we can use that to acquire, say, the 7 acres in Riverstone South. Any other clarifying questions, or thumbs up, thumbs down? You can give me thumbs down. It's all okay. Councilmember Musgrove?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a difficult thing because you're asking the taxpayers to pay for a grouping of land that they may go to, and then it may end up at some time being sold because the city needs to sell it, and then their money has gone to something that now somebody else is able to develop it. I think it's a good idea, but we're using taxpayers' money, and so I have a hard time, and I don't know if anyone else can convince me
Just to clarify the point, once they buy it, they permanently enroll it in a permanent open space, so it doesn't have the possibility of going back. If it's paid for by tax dollars, they'll do a land dedication similar to some of the parks we have, where it cannot be sold for some future council says, let's sell this and use the money to build it.
So then, does the city continue to pay taxes on it?
I'd be tax exempt, and it would not generate any taxes for the city too. So that's a downside. It's not generating any future tax base, but it does preserve the environment for those around that area in particular, and also provides a place for people across the community and other areas to visit.
I think I'd be on board with this, knowing that it could never really be sold, because that's a really valid point. And I think, at least Ward 2, I hear all the time, the rural bounds, the rural feeling, we could protect that by asking residents to pay for it on the taxes. I think most would actually be important. But it has to be something that's clearly communicated as a separate item and things like that. And I think, and we were actually talking a little earlier about it, there's a quote-unquote park on Barriolite that is a prime example of what I would consider open space. Because it probably will never be a park, and if Public Works used it for like the staging area for Barriolite when it was done, but
it used to be a horse riding arena.
Yes, but like
skating rink too.
I mean, that to me is a pretty good example, because right now all it does is house turkeys and deer, and that's great. So, and I wouldn't necessarily want that to go away, but it's also not really a great spot for a park. So this might provide funding to acquire land sources like that that have a unique characteristic that are of value but not for building. I don't know. I would welcome exploring it.
That's my respect.
And I guess I would support it if we did something like this. Like, it sounds like Andover put it on a ballot. You know, if that, you know, we put it out there and that's what the people want.
Yeah. Another clarifying, is there a provision in there where it has to be I can see somebody using this, hey, the city, buy me this lot next door, so now it's open space and nobody will build on it. You know, I don't have to buy it, but I know nobody else is going to either. I mean, are there provisions in there to protect the city residents from having to buy it for the neighbor who wants their land?
And Mr. Councilmember Musgrove, I mean, it's going to be the city's choice whether to acquire or not. I think the tool we would use is we have a natural resource inventory that we would want to go after the exceptional high-quality open space. We wouldn't want to do it just kind of a random open space unless the council felt necessary. So we can streamline it, kind of lock it down based off of our natural resources inventory and give yourself some flexibility. But there's always that risk that you had identified.
And I think, too, that I know in my homeowners association, there's a clause that says no more than 10% of the homes can be rented. So, I think going to the residents and letting them know that there's, no more than so much of the acreage in the city would be, involved in the program, I think it might, be worth it to know.
All right, let me do another gut check here in the interest of time. So, adding the clarifying language that only if supported by a ballot initiative. By way of thumbs up, is there any support for exploring this further through the work plan?
I'd say we don't want to spend a ton of time on it.
Right.
But sure.
Was that a thumbs up or?
I'm open to it if there's some certain or unique area like that 100-year forest.
So there was enough support, maybe not full support, but there was enough support to keep that conversation going. So we'll kind of move through that. If I miss anything, please let me know. All right, so now we run into quite a few of the communications plan issues. So I'm hoping that we can just agree to keep these and defer to the communications plan. They're still important. The more specific communications plan will drive some of that. So the first one was strengthen and enhance our identity and brand. So that's a high-level strategy. Is there any consensus to keep that as the high-level strategy in this plan? By a thumbs up. Okay, not full consensus, but enough support. Any questions, comments?
I would just say, when I hear this, I think of things like we took down the core signage, but the city and Ramsey signage, and have that be our brand. You know, this endless the sign, for example, over there by Burger King. You know, keep the city of Ramsey as our brand, have that consistent throughout.
And maybe we could add, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but when I look back at our tool up there, there was a couple comments about image. So maybe we add the word image to this to make it a little bit more well-rounded. Looking for any thumbs up or nodding heads on that. Okay. Awesome. Diving into some strategies under identity, brand, image, zip code. I'll just assume that we have enough support to keep this in here. It was just more of a regular update. But does anyone talk about it? Thumbs up if you want to keep the zip code as a strategy. Okay. Any questions, comments on that one?
I included my comments in the survey.
Okay. We had a couple advisory comments about identity, brand, and image. Think these are advisory in nature. I'll move on unless anyone wants to talk through that. There were great ideas, such as, you know, highlighting the photo conscious winners a little bit differently. Councilmember Speck.
I don't know if this fits in here, but as I saw the photo contest, I still think it'd be cool to have like a holiday lights thing competition citywide. Like, you
Justin
know.
Loss.
What?
You know Justin Loss.
Name plus familiar.
I think he's on Parks and Rec or TV, but he. Man, does he light his house up?
My neighbor across the street is pretty good too. The point would be, you know, thinking back, it would have been more fun during COVID since the weather was great and something didn't compute, but just something to think about.
So, are you suggesting that as an action item?
Well, it's maybe fit underneath this.
Thumbs up if you want to consider a holiday light competition as an action item.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that would be good for like Park and Rec, you know,
yep.
In their area, not. Necessarily a lot of other
cities
have.
Okay, looking at improved cities communication, it's on the board, 100% support, high importance here, consensus to keep in the plan as an action item, thumbs up. We have one neutral here, but pretty high relevance, but improved, proactive, and time relevant communication, keep as an action item. Working on the communications plan, thumbs up. Catch all about improving cities' communication. Some good advisory comments. One comment about the website. Again, it's up on the big board. We'll defer to the communications plan on that. We had some discussion around that today. This is more of a staff comment, so not an additional action. But as we talk about these new tools, we're starting to get a little concerned that the expectations about what we're delivering exceed the staff resources. We don't need to dive into that today. We'll talk about that as part of the budget, just flagging that for you. There's lots of good ideas about communication. I know communication staff is a little concerned about just being overwhelmed with some of the things. But we continue to work on that, readjusting resources first before considering adding any of that. So we don't need to take any action, but just noting that here for you today. We have a high-level strategy that deals with improving and sustaining high organizational morale. A couple advisory comments as part of that. And based off of comment number one here, I think two things. We need to bring forward our balanced scorecard again. It talks about by what metrics do we measure morale. I think our balanced scorecard does that. So the action is continue to better spotlight that balanced scorecard, and a little bit of discussion about updating our telecommunications policy, which we'll have on the work session agenda next week. But getting back to the high-level strategy, is there enough support by a thumbs up to keeping, improving, and sustaining high organizational morale?
I don't know why anyone would leave, Tim.
Really, I did it. It's such a high...
That's awesome. Come on, get it out of your system.
So he wasn't fired?
Setting that aside, do you want to keep the high improvement, sustain high organizational morale by thumbs up? Okay.
I think it's a good strategy. I just don't, I guess I had trouble with the word high because what's the definition? I mean,
yeah, we don't feel
somebody's high can be somebody's low. You know, I mean, somebody's need for reinforcement in what they're doing well all the time is, you know, higher than somebody else's. So, I mean, improve and sustain organizational morale is where I would have it. And I guess, for me, the word high was kind of a, is that unachievable?
So
is that unrealistic?
I'm not sure it is. Kurt, Colleen, jump in, but we do, every few years we do a staff survey, and I think that'll kind of get at quantifying what we're talking about here. We don't want to be just average. You know, we want to sustain our high organization morale, which we've had for many years because of the things we do. So I think we can measure it. We measure it through the staff survey, but Colleen,
yeah,
Kurt,
we do. There's a specific question on that, and the metric is 70% or greater employees would rank that as feeling that it's high, a high level.
So the word high actually comes from your survey, meaning a category of high, medium, or low. And so you were wanting to improve and sustain that, quote, high organizational morale. Is that? Okay. So that's just a category in there. Okay, that makes sense.
But it can be quantified.
Yeah,
5%.
Okay,
so we have good consensus to keep that. Good discussion, good clarification. So two new action items based off of comment here, which is one pretty simple, just continue to bring forward the balance scorecard. And then updating the telecommuting policy as an action item. We've been kind of forced into some innovation, and we have employees asking us now, is this something that we can keep to a certain degree after the pandemic, a hybrid office environment? But hopefully there's appetite to looking at the telecommuting policy because we're going to talk about it next week. Thumbs up if it's okay to keep in the plan. Awesome. We can keep that case for next week. So the catch-all, are we missing anything? There was a good advisory comment here. But then also potential action items to get at this strategy. Bear with me, I just want to look back at the original comment about being cognizant of the impact of our council actions during sessions new resolutions may have on staff and community. So I think that maybe what we're talking about here, and I'm just trying to extrapolate a little bit, but you know, do we need to look at our agenda preparation and agenda amendment policies and schedules? Is that what we're talking about here? I'm trying to extrapolate that a little bit, so you're all going to have to help me. But see if there's any appetite for adding that as an action item, so I'll leave that open for discussion.
I believe I'm the one who wrote that, and that was kind of where I was going with it, because I know when I onboarded as council, in meeting with everybody, some of the feedback you all gave me as staff was, ask me your questions early so that we can prepare and answer them as we go, and that's been really helpful for me, and I know I'm one of the new people, and that's how I've kind of taken it to heart, and I think the more we ask you guys questions ahead of time, it seems to be beneficial when writing the case and presenting the case, and I think that helps the residents in terms of their understanding of the case, because a lot of times, especially when it came to the case about the armored vehicle, or specifically, it was on the agenda, and residents saw it, and a couple people were like, what is this about? I'm like, I'm asking questions, but it takes time, but then the case was presented, and it answered a lot of those questions. So I think that's kind of what I was going for in making sure that, one, we follow the agenda as best we can in terms of timelines, and then also us being able to equip the staff with the questions that either we have or we think the community has. So that's kind of where that came from.
Other discussion? Councilmember Musgrove.
I think that's a good objective, but I also understand that we don't get them until Thursday evening, and then Friday is one day, and we may not have a chance to go through them all, and then we have the weekend. And my only day off right now is Tuesday. So I understand the importance of trying to get there and get questions ahead of time, and I do try to get my questions ahead of time. Sometimes they end up being on Tuesday morning, but I think sometimes asking those questions during the meeting as residents have those same questions is also important. So
I don't even know that I would support it as an action item for this. I think my perspective is perhaps it can be woven more into the culture side of we try and be as transparent and ready for meetings as possible. That, I think, is more than, it's not necessarily a strategy that I think we need to implement. It's more a comment more than anything else.
So just talking through it at the work session today, getting on the table, is that kind of what your objective was and we don't need to put it anywhere?
I would just, I think that's totally fine. I don't know that we need to bring it up.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be an action item.
Agreed.
I just think there's going to be times where we're able to get our questions in earlier than later. I was going to say, the other thing is that I know we talked about getting the agendas a little earlier in the week, and I know that that was also an issue time-wise. So I'm okay with getting them Thursday as long as there's other understandings as well.
Yeah, I think, just sharing the ideas that work for you and the advice you've been given, and I think just idea sharing, we all do that with one another and, kind of see what strategies we can incorporate. I mean, I know I had a resident reach out to me fairly late in the day one time. I think it was fairly late on a Tuesday afternoon. I had to ask her to pull a case, too. So, things arise and just being understanding we're all different in how we process things. And, having a conversation.
Yep. So it seems like consensus is just having a discussion is what we needed to do today, so we'll move on from that unless anyone else has comments on that.
I would say our morale just went up.
Morale just went up. An idea from staff. An idea from staff that worked out well during the pandemic because we got really good at all staff meetings webinar version. We have a couple of employee events throughout the year, and we can supplement those in a variety of ways. But the idea was additional employee events to strengthen relationships. That might be staff, that might be events with staff and council. We used to do cookies with council during Christmas. COVID wouldn't allow us to do that, but events like that, where there's more interaction between council and staff, sometimes it's nice for the staff to see that from you on a specific action, and that means a lot. So with that, staff is recommending adding this as an action item, additional employee events to strengthen relationships. Thumbs up if you're cool with that.
I want to just say that in the past when we were able to do that, to council people, that's always been when we got to tour the old Public Works trailer.
They didn't come back the last year.
However, the crew did work really hard to get it clean.
Awesome.
So I like this. I think it was helpful.
Awesome. Another high-level strategy, strive to reflect the demographics of the community. Strategy without an action. So our suggestion is it's important, but let's move it to the culture section of the plan. Looking for a thumbs up if you're cool with that move. Yep, I think we've got enough consensus to move forward with that. Strive to reflect the demographics of the community, and maybe this changes a little bit, but it can be somewhere. There was a suggestion to do more training for all, to understand our unconscious biases and impacts of what our words may have on others. Should that be an action item? So you made that comment, if you can help us understand what you're looking for, and we'll poll and see if the council wants to add that as an action item.
That was me again, if you couldn't tell. Thanks for laughing, Riley.
I was laughing too.
I think it's sorry. Important, and I don't mean any disrespect by this at all, because I fully understand that the case and your comments were not meant to be derogatory by any means. That wasn't anything to do with it, and I hope you realize that. But I feel like in my past, probably 5 years, I've gone through a handful of unconscious bias training, other things that really help me as a person reflect on the way that I speak, and the tones that I use, and the listening that I have participated in, and using that as a methodology. Because there wasn't really a reason for all that conversation around you to happen related to the Japanese American conversation. I don't know that needed to happen. Not saying that it was preventable, but at the same token, there are potentially opportunities for us to just open our eyes up a little bit. And that was just one example. And again, I mean, no disrespect by saying that. I think it's just an opportunity that maybe we all could spend a little time understanding that, because Asian Americans are a big small chunk of this community, as well as many others. And I wouldn't want the things that have been said to be taken out of context or inappropriately. So that's kind of where this came from. And feel free to yell at me.
So can you explain what unconscious bias means?
For me, a lot of the things that I've been trying to focus on are really around the fact that I, as a middle-aged, middle-income, white dude, have a certain perspective on what the world is, and that's not always the case, and it has allowed me to at least take a step back and realize that in talking to you, you may have a very different perspective of that one, and it's not necessarily a conscious effort when I may say something inappropriately by any means, but it is just the unconscious state of my historical life, being who I am, the experiences that I've had. I have specific biases towards certain things or whatnot, around, I used to talk over women quite a bit, and that was a bad thing, and I have worked really hard on that, and that was part of the last 5 years of my life has really been focusing on not doing those things and just listening. So to me, that's an opportunity for us, and perhaps it's not an action item, perhaps it's just, again, a conversation, and it's not necessarily something that we need to outline in the strategic plan, but again, it's a conversation point that I feel is valid for us all.
Councilmember, sorry. The chief does some unconscious bias training with PD, so if you want to go first, he offered to provide some training.
I actually do. I'm aware of what unconscious bias is. So here's the thing. You're looking for a ghost of a ghost, and you look at somebody and you say, you have unconscious bias. You don't know that you're biased, but you are, and I can't pinpoint what it is, but I have the right, and with my immutable characteristics, to judge your immutable characteristics that I'm looking at, and I'm assuming are there, because I actually didn't ask you. I'm just looking at you, and I'm making that assumption that my immutable characteristics are superior to yours and can judge your immutable characteristics and what you really mean, even though you never said it. There's a problem with that. I never said what I was accused of saying. We've had a discussion. I do not have unconscious bias. You can't. So unconscious bias. What do you know about me? What do I know about you? Why is somebody who shows up that looks a certain way, their immutable characteristics supersede somebody else's immutable characteristics? It makes absolutely zero sense. I gave an example of basically executive orders. I have always, my entire life, been against executive order powers being abused by anybody. I don't care what office they're in. It's problematic. What party you are, it's problematic. That is what I brought up. I gave an example. Because I don't look at people for the color of their skin. I don't. I haven't my whole life. And you can say I have unconscious bias because I don't know that I look at people that way, but I don't. And you don't even know what my heritage is. I gave an example in history where people were treated absolutely atrociously. You can laugh at me or mock the fact that I think there's a problem with masks. I never compared them to what the Japanese people experience. What I did say is I do really have a problem with executive power. You can admire the governor. I do not admire what he has done. There are people who have suffered under those policies, And who has stood up for them? Who has stood up for the 5 or 10 or 15 people in our communities, or 100 or 115, who have struggled and have been castigated for their experiences? And then, you know, that dear lady, you know, I was so disappointed, Mary. You invited her for political buttons pushing against me, to push back on me. You used her. And Mr. Taguchi used her as well. You guys used her, and she allowed herself to be used. That was not the appropriate place for her to give a history lesson. She does have a lot to share with us. What an experience to go through. We can't relate to that. But you guys used her in bringing her here in a session and caught me off guard and tried to accomplish something. I will never apologize for something I did not do. I do not have unconscious bias. You don't know my hair. You're looking at my skin color and deciding that you know who I am based on what I look like, because you are determining that somebody who looks different from me is superior. And the fellow who came in and talked, Mr. Kent, the same thing. He tried to chide me and humiliate me in front of everybody. What are we doing to each other? And I'm sorry, this is like completely awkward for all of you, I'm sure. But this is inappropriate. You cannot pinpoint. You can't look at somebody and say, you're racist. You don't know you're racist. You have unconscious bias. I can judge your unconscious bias, but you can't see it. You don't know you have it. It's just subconscious. But I am superior enough to you that I can actually judge that in you, because I've been trained in it. What gives you that authority? What gave that authority to those people to come and judge it? Because, you know, I looked at all the comments and all the trash that was written on me on the community pages. And Mr. Grimmer, who's the CD6 DFL chair, who I saw that you liked the post he put up with the letter condemning me from the group on the CD6 DFL page, he was arguing with a lady in the community who has suffered tremendously from this mandate and who has stood up for her. She has been abused by people in the community for not being able to wear a mask. Her children have been screamed at. Who has stood up for them? When did you stand up for them, Mayor? When did you ever stand up for the people who have suffered? Because that's what I didn't hear. Nobody's comfortable standing up for the minority. We're only comfortable standing up for the minorities that are socially acceptable to stand up for. And that is the problem that we have here. And Mr. Grimmer made a point, because he was arguing with her on the pages. And he said, it's not what Chelsea didn't say. It's not what she said. It's what was implied. Well, you know what? We can look at what each of us say, and we can make our own judgments on it and look at it through our own lenses. But do not tell me to ever apologize for something I never said. Unbiased, conscious unbiased. Anyway, it belongs in a dung heap.
I hear you. I didn't mean to bring up any of that. I want you to understand that I don't believe you meant to imply that Japanese internment was a mask mandate. We can talk about that at a later date. My point was more around the fact that, you know, you say the color of someone's skin doesn't matter, and I understand that, but from my perspective, it has to matter, because we don't understand what some other people go through. And my only purpose in this is to identify the fact that perhaps there are opportunities for us to take a moment and hear from other people and learn from them, which I know you agree with. However, perhaps my wording was poor in both what I wrote and in my presentation now, because I don't mean to offend you by any means, and I hope you don't take it that way. This is derailed quite a bit. But I think that there is an opportunity for us to hear from Chief when he gets back, if there is an opportunity for council to at least have a discussion about it at some point in the future. I don't think it has to be a strategic goal by any means, but I do think it would be an important topic for us to visit at some point. I apologize that I equated it to that whole incident. It was a bad example, but honestly, it is an example of where perhaps we're not listening to different perspectives as well as we could. And I think that you did get a little more than you deserved on that one, if that makes sense. And I apologize.
Well, tremendously more is what I would say. If you go go and look at the JLAC's website, it's problematic. I mean, I'm going to just put it out there. You know what? I look at people, and again, I realize the direction critical race theory goes. I've done some reading on it. You know, you have unconscious biases. If your skin looks a certain color, you know, you're lower on the totem pole and you don't understand how you both trust people. It's below me. I realize I'm being completely unprofessional right now, but it's a bunch of baloney, and who's to judge it? Those are theories that belong in classrooms and apply to real life. They have terrible results. Terrible results.
Let's move on. From your direction, we want to move on from this one. We want to, you know, set it aside for now. I'm just looking for some
direction. I mean, I think we could do a straw poll. I mean, I definitely agree with most of what you know, Councilmember Hall said. I don't think this. I think this is kind of buzzwords. I think there's a lot of agendas behind it, and I think that it's not something that we need to worry about. And I'll be the first to admit I have so many areas of growth in my life that I need to have, and I try to grow constantly. But I don't think this is the appropriate place or situation to push this type of agenda. But yes, we all need to grow as individuals. Absolutely.
Is there anyone on the council that wants to support this, or should we move on? Looking for any thumbs up? Okay. Not seeing any thumbs up on that one. We will move on to some of the final questions here. So these are the existing parking lot list.
Morale, lower. Sorry, bud.
So one of them is complete a development fee impact study. This has to do with identified implement operational efficiencies, cost savings, additional funding sources. Back to the big board. There were some comments on that one. Staff recommendation right now is good. We can keep this as an action item, and it's a little bit more recurring, but it feels like we need to provide better information when we bring our annual rates and charges forward in ordinance format. So we're fine keeping it in a parking list and a regular, but maybe we just need to provide better data at the appropriate time. Councilmember Specht?
Yeah, and I can see where this might take a lot of bandwidth, so I would hate to have to say do both the ordinances and this maybe at the same time, but that is that was a question I have, and I was of intentions to call other cities, but I would love to see at some point, not every year, but at some point, maybe once every 5 years, see a comprehensive, you know, this is what our neighboring cities charge for these fees, so just kind of have a comparison. And but I understand that's time consuming.
My one caution, and happy for council members to do their own research, just know that it's really hard to compare apples to apples, so you almost have to take an actual project. Here is a single family development, run it through all the charges, because everything's structured a little bit differently, and when you wash it all at the end, we do pretty good, especially when you think about our development pattern. We have less homes across longer stretches of sewer water extensions. Just naturally going to be more expensive per unit. But when you think about that, we've got to do different project types. We've done that in the past, and I think we can do some simplified versions based off the data.
Or even, like, I was thinking things that might directly affect a current resident. Like, I want to build a new deck, I want to put up a shed, or I want to, you know, are there, any ways to compare those? And I understand those variances and the differences.
Councilmember Musgrove?
Are you referring to things like the online, with roads, the online application process? Is that part of what you're referring to with regard to development, where you like bring some of the processes online maybe and have a reduction in costs, or just
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember, it's my understanding that this strategy has to deal with new development. So Capstone comes in and says, wow, your rates and charges are really high, you know, can we quantify that and compare it apples to apples as best we can to other communities? So it's more about analyzing park dedication, trail development, stormwater, sanitary sewer, water are our five big development fees that we charge that usually look at that. We can dive into permits too, so how much does it cost for a new single family permit, a commercial industrial permit, so those are a little bit easier to quantify. Quite honestly, permit fees are pretty standard across the board because of how the state analyzes it or requires it. So it's about those five development fees that you see on like a big residential plat. It's my understanding what this one is more focused on.
So is that not something that you get feedback on and look at, as you said, like a developer brings that forward and you know, say, hey, you know, this fee, we've heard from several developers that it's high, look at it, bring it to council, say,
development fee.
Council Member Musgrove, it's rare that a developer actually brings other examples. You know, it happens every once in a while. Every community hears that their rates and charges are higher than the other.
Okay.
You know, we can compare across the board. So we do a deeper dive from time to time, every 5 to 10 years, where we take, you know, a larger project and run it through the full spectrum versus individual line items, because that'll give you a better picture of total development cost. Maybe what we'll do, so I would suggest keeping it here, and the first part we'll do is we'll share what we did back in 2011, which is probably the more robust development impact fee study we did, and that'll paint a better story. And then when we bring this back, we can do a deeper dive at that point. Just my suggestion at this point.
Okay, that just spurred a question. When was the last time we had done this?
So last time we did a really large, super comprehensive was 2011. In between, we've been doing spot checks. So we're looking at, you know, staff can look at park dedication, trail development, some of the other things, and look more line item and total package. So we do that every year, every other year, kind of more informally. But a super deep dive in a different format that's more easily consumable for others. The last time we did that big of a deep dive was 2011. But we check every year along the way on spot.
So what's the question before the council?
Do you want to do that incredibly deep dive? It's going to take several years. Do you want to do the deeper dive that we did in 2011? I think you need to see that study to understand what that looks like. This is something that the council has asked for. It was more focused around park dedication. Quite honestly, I think the question was, is our park dedication fee too high? And that's why it survived a couple times, but council member respect.
I mean, I guess so. If you have feedback from staff, and it obviously this doesn't take a lot of work, is it too much to say, you know, let's try this and looking over all the ordinances and stuff, or do you think this would be better in a year where maybe there's less other things going on? Yeah.
Without knowing the scope, if you just want to see a handful of fees on the development side and how they compare and how we arrived at, that's something we can easily do.
I mean, send this up to the 2011, you know, like to the level of the 2011, I think. And I think it would be good to do at some point. I mean, every 10 years seems fair. I mean, but I definitely want to respect the staff's time and not overwhelm them with stuff.
Yeah. I do know the staff member, no longer here, that did that study. It was a lot of work for the type of detail they did to kind of compile everything into mock projects versus just sharing the line item fees. So, you know, if you're kind of building into a mock project from start to finish, that is incredibly time consuming. If you can just accept just the development side and, you know, those five fees, those are easily comparable and they wouldn't be a problem at all.
I'll leave it up to people. I'm good either way. I'm waiting a year or doing it now.
So are we okay leaving that in there? I think we don't have to decide how deep of a dive today, but you want to see a more robust overview of development fees. Is that what you would like to see?
I would like for Councilmember Westerhoff's thoughts on it for development. I mean, do you think that would be good for our development community to know that we're in line?
I think our development community probably knows where we are in line. I think it's more self-reflective. I would actually probably parking lot it and put it to next year, just because of staff turnover.
She's staring me down now.
Okay.
Well, I think it's important for us to do kind of what Councilmember Speck was saying. Every 10 years seems reasonable, but perhaps we push it to the 11th year. This go around seems okay. I think we've got a lot of stuff going on right now.
So that suggestion to keep it, but put it in the parking lot list, can I get a thumbs up if you're okay with that? All right, good suggestion, parking lot list it is. There was a suggestion, this has been in the parking lot for a little while, complete an organizational staffing plan that deals with high organizational morale. So there's that. We might add, as part of our discussion here, just more explicitly calling out the employee survey in order to get to that. Colleen, do you want to talk a little bit about what it is we mean by organizational staffing plan? Or did I put you in the spot too much?
Sure. So it's come up many times over the last several years about doing a comparison to how our staffing is, not only in terms of staffing by department, but staffing in terms of overall numbers, staffing how many parks employees for how many parks, how many streets employees for how many miles of streets. I've done many internal studies on this, and we're consistently low. In the employee survey, it's come up a few times that people would like to have this an actual be conducted by an outside firm so that it maybe seems more objective. And so I can certainly try to conduct an internal organizational staffing study in comparison, or council may want to outsource this. It's not cheap. Last time we did it was 2006 or 7, and it was about $50,000, right? I personally really feel like, and maybe I'm going off track a little bit, but I really think each department head knows what they need, and that's what really matters.
Discussion on that? Or if you just want to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down so we get a sense of where we're at on keeping this or getting rid of it.
And just so, and people are familiar with this, but it's a little bit of an iterative approach where each year department heads assess their needs and figure out what's getting done and what isn't getting done, and we bring that up as part of the budget. We have those debates about each of these new positions about we want to continue doing this, we want to continue plowing snow in 8 hours, we need another driver, we need another plow. So that's kind of how we do it now. We don't have an overall strategy or plan that necessarily looks into the future. By the way, the study that was done in 2006, if you brought it out now, you would, I mean, everything, because of the recession, everything just totally, and all the assumptions that were made, the study was totally worthless a year or two later because all the underlying assumptions had changed. So that's one of the problems with looking too far in the future. So we do it pretty much year to year. The message, at least from us as staff, would be, okay, listen to us. We're bringing these requests forward because we feel it's necessary to do something. So when you have those budget discussions, take into account each department head works with those departments and know what gets done and what's needed to do the work that council has directed. And so that's sometimes, as Colleen had alluded to, the departments know what their staffing needs are, and we will tie that to activity and items on this plan. And that is one approach rather than just doing it more comprehensively. But to look at how many police officers different communities our size have, that's a good indication, perhaps, what we should have. And generally, we're probably in the ballpark, but if you look at Anoka, for example, which has less population, but totally different demographic and types of use, then they have a lot more police officers. But
I think, too, one of the things that we found in the past when we do our strategic planning is that we put way too much stuff on staff that it becomes burden when we get a meeting, and they can't accomplish it all. So I think we have to be careful about what we ask them to accomplish. I can see that the staff would like to have us do the survey to help quantify bringing on more staff. Realistically, I think listening to the department heads tell us what they need is a good measure of what on staff, and then I think we as a council have to decide, you know, if it takes 2 weeks to get a permit out, or if it's taking 3 weeks or 4 weeks, obviously there's a problem, and that's what we have to listen to them and make a decision of what type of length we want to have, and that goes for same with engineering. We're getting roads done, or you know, all the different departments have different things, whether parks or dealt with on in a timely fashion. So I think the department heads can do a good job with this. It's my input.
Based off of this recent discussion, thumbs up if you want to remove this from the plan. Remove from the plan, thumbs up. Yep, looks like we got consensus to pull that, and the trust is in the budget process and things that the department heads are moving forward.
In general.
All right, last slide. We've all done some good work today. So this was the catch-all of all catch-alls. So is there any ideas that we haven't covered here today? And I think through some different parts, we've already done that. So funds for plantings along Highway 47, that's part of the streetscape plan, now on the parking lot list. City code update, we did add that as a comprehensive city code audit and update. Maintain and improve existing parks before adding parts. That's part of one of our existing actions in the park and rec section. And then we have this look at our employment union contract negotiation process. Maybe this is just consensus here, but let's go ahead and add that to the effective organization strategy, however that's listed. So if you're comfortable with all of that, looking for a thumbs up to wrap up this section of the plan. Awesome. All right. Whew, a lot of work. Good job. Usually that took 3 or 4 meetings to get to this point, right? So we're doing good. Kurt, I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you,
Tim. Excellent job. Nice work on the carry us through that those difficult topics. I'll turn it back over to the mayor.
All right. Well, as we get to close this evening, I'd like to have go around the table and ask everybody just to share number one takeaway that they get from tonight. Go ahead.
I think that we pared this down more than we added to it, so I think that's going to make us more likely to be successful.
Yeah, I like that. I'm excited about the ordinance review and deep dive to see if there's others that we can that aren't necessary anymore and we can get rid of and clean things up. So,
I think for me, it's the sticky notes, and I actually mean that for real because it helps realize that for a lot of what we do, we are in alignment on a lot of issues. So, I think that's actually really good to see.
I think we're going to really miss Tim, because he did an awesome job. So, thank you.
I think I'll do it on the side. We'll come back in the contract.
Yeah, you know, you could work remotely for us.
Right? Yeah. We both at the same time. Yeah.
We won't tell if you don't.
Sorry, go ahead. We'll catch you.
That was it. Yeah, you're the star of tonight. I just appreciate the way that we're able to speak freely and openly, and I think that even though we come from a wide or a varied background of, as speaking of council members, political areas, we still are independent and we still speak independently and represent our residents. And so I just want to thank the staff for listening. It's boring, you know. I appreciate the opportunity to have time to speak with fellow council members, just to have that conversation and to, you know, get responses from the city staff. I think that's important for us to be able to work together.
Council Member Hyman?
Oh. Yeah, I would just echo what Council Member Hall said about good job, Tim. We're going to miss you. And then it was good to see kind of what Councilor Wolstaff said about the sticky notes. Even when we found disagreements, going through this exercise, kind of talking over why we thought something needed to be adjusted, a lot of times we found common ground. I appreciated that.
Okay. I think, just how much in agreement everybody was. I thought there'd be more discussion, I guess, but I think everybody's pretty much on the same line.
One good takeaway was I think there's a lot of different opinions and coming from different perspectives. I think that's always good to have that conversation. And I know it changed my mind on a few things tonight, too, seeing it from somebody else's point of view. So I think we're able to find common ground, and we have a lot in common. So
I would just echo the comments. I'm always impressed at how close to the line they really are at the end of the day. We might disagree on how to get there or what the outcome is, but there's just a lot of parallels as we have these conversations. It's really impressive to see, and I think these are so important conversations to take that next step forward.
I enjoy this time to hear from everybody. It really helps me, reminds me that we all do have passions, but in the end, we all want what's best for our coworkers, our teams, our residents, and we work hard for it, and sometimes in different ways, but we all have our heart in the right place.
Unfortunately, as we get to the end here, it's not a It's really neat just to see the board back there and how, you know, between council and staff, just the multiple clumps, which means we're all seeing the same picture, strengths, weaknesses, and just in general how to move the city forward. So,
come on, Bruce, something original.
I guess I would just add to that too. I was noticing the number of strengths compared to weaknesses. I mean, it's just there's more strengths than weaknesses in the city, I think. So that kind of played itself out.
I was going to say that just from comparing the surveys that we took before, that you couldn't see what each wrote. You know, when you're comparing, is we were kind of on the same page too, and then that kind of reiterated it also that staff and council are kind of on the same wavelength of where we are and should be going, so to speak. So, and I always look like this, so don't get caught. I always hold my head
but
up.
But she's in the office at 4 a.m. It's a late day. Thank you. Want to reiterate, Tim, excellent job. I'm going to miss you. We're all going to miss your skills and what you bring. So thank you. The group discussion tonight, great. I mean, we don't make progress unless we put stuff out there and have some discussion. So I really want to thank everyone for their willingness to participate and get stuff out there about where we are right now, because we can certainly, there's room for improvement, and looking forward to that, working together on our common goals. I think we have a lot of them that have been pretty clearly laid out that this is where we want to go. That gives me good direction, and gives our staff good direction about what's important to the council. So, thank you.
And I also want to thank Tim for doing a great job for us. We're really going to miss you.
Well, let's do all two.
And I want to thank everybody here tonight, too.
I think we're breaking him down. He can't leave now.
When is his last day?
It's TBD. End of June.
Well, what I also want to thank is everybody here, too, that, you know, I've been through a number of sessions, and we've gone from hiring a firm to come in and do a real extensive multi-faceted strategic plan to squeeze the balls and move the boxes. To me,
too much information.
Wait, you make decisions quick.
Do you want to rephrase that?
But to me, this has been the most efficient process that I've had since I've been on council, and I think we've got a lot done tonight. Moving forward, it will be helpful. Thank you.
One note, I didn't forget about question 4. We ran out of time. We will come back to that at a future meeting, the payment management, but just ran out of time. So just wanted to get out there because we didn't discuss it. Just didn't forget.
And our next step was figuring out the thumbs up, thumbs down. It was just better.
So, do we get this now presented again and have another opportunity to look at it and go through it? Is that the next?
We'll schedule this for another work, so we'll refine what we did tonight and get that into a written document and then bring it back for final approval and adoption. So, we'd like to get it to the council formally, as this is our adopted plan.
So we will have to have a discussion on that question before that's finished.
Yes, we'll have to figure that out. I'm kidding. We'll do that at a work session.
We're 5 minutes over.
service.
If anybody has an interest, our Citizens Academy last night is tonight, that's why I stepped out. So they're down there if you want to talk to them.
Citizens Academy.
Citizens Academy, yeah, last night.